final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Hey, Doc, this is it.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot at...
Thank God, I still got my hair! And what on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Well, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course! Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars! This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts! Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
But all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Doc, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what she wrote here, Doc. I mean... That says it all. Doc, you're my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
six, five, four, three, two, one, zero. Blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, you're listening to the Mad Science Show at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html where you have access to not one, but two, but three, and four. Yeah, four separate chat rooms. Yeah, we had a problem with the chat room last go around, and so what we did was we went ahead and put both chat codes in there, so you have access to four of them. In case one of them fails for some reason, there's a backup for a backup for a backup, so to speak. And even at the very bottom of this old Java chat down there, or the emergency chat room. Anyway, I got like a whole lot to talk, and I hope I can keep my breath long enough to do so. But the subject I want to talk about today is heat. Heat and energy and efficiency and so on and so forth. So I take a drink of my coffee. Anyway, so when it comes down to your electric bill, the biggest drain on your electric bill is any resistive load that you got going on. During the winter time, this could be bad for a lot of people because of the simple fact is your breaker switches can only handle so much amperage draw, so much wattage going on, and it causes your light bill to skyrocket during the winter time when you're using, like, you know, me, I'm all electric. And so, with that said, need to find more efficient ways to be able to heat your home in order to stay warm, but also at the same point be able to stay safe. See, running all them highly resistive loads is pretty dangerous sometimes. If your wiring can't handle it, you could end up starting a fire, and that's not a good thing. That's one of my biggest fears. I don't want to burn down my house. I like my house. I like my people in my house. And there's other individuals out there that can't really afford to pay high electric bills. So one of the solutions that needs to be come up with is how to heat your home. Now, I posted a link in the chat room where a guy was talking about essentially turning your hot water heater into a battery, where you're using, and that kind of sounds like a misnomer there, not actually using it as a battery, but you're using it as a storage facility for heat. According to this guy named Dennis on this particular article that I posted, he said a 52-gallon water heater can store roughly 12 kilowatts of energy. Whereas, like, the Tesla home battery stores only 7 kilowatts of free energy and costs more than $5,000. And that's when factoring in the cost of an inverter, according to this particular article. And so, with that said, storing the hot water, there's certain materials out there that once you get them hot, they like to retain that heat for long periods of time. I made the example one time about an old car tire. It's the middle of July, and it got to be nighttime out, and I jumped in the back of an old pickup truck and sat on an old car tire that had been out baking in the sun all night. Well, of course, I burned my biscuits because sitting on that tire, it had retained, because of the color of the tire and the material the tire was made of, it actually retained that heat even into the nighttime. And so the tire was still hot even after the sun went down. Another example would be a catalytic converter. Those things get extremely hot, and they will hold heat for several hours after you shut your vehicle off. And that's also one of the reasons why they tell you never to park over dry grass. Actually, you probably shouldn't even park on green grass, for that matter, with your vehicle, because that catalytic converter gets really hot and can literally set fire to the grass that's underneath that car. And so, you know, that's just two examples of what you can actually do with it, that heat. Also, there's a guy out there doing research in hydrogen technology where he's putting hydrogen into a catalytic converter, and it causes a reaction in that catalytic converter which causes it to generate heat because of the way the catalytic reaction actually occurs inside of a catalytic converter. When you're introducing hydrogen into that, it causes it to get hot. And so that's another potential way to generate a lot of heat. So there's all kinds of ways to generate heat, most of which we don't want. You know, in our electronic appliances, we don't want heat in our transistors or our MOSFETs or even our resistors for that matter, because they're only, they only go up to certain temperature before they reach their thermal breakdown, and then they fail. And so, you know, there was a problem there, because you want your appliances and your electronics to last longer, so the trick is to try to keep them cool, which then in turn takes yet even more energy. So how do we balance out? How do we move the energy from one place to the next, get what we need out of it, and then, you know, use it as efficiently as possible without causing any problems? There's all kinds of methods for heating homes these days, but not a lot of them are really efficient. There's a lot of wasted energy goes into it. You know, wood stove, basically you could use old tree limbs that have fell down and stack you up some wood, and you can use wood to heat your home. And you can also modify the stove a little bit to like wrap some tubing around it and circulate water through there, where you get a kind of two for one. You get the radiant heat plus you get the water heat as well. And in the solar industry, they actually have solar water heaters, which uses the sun during daytime to heat up the water so that your element's not kicking on. So there are ways to actually reduce how much energy it requires to, you know, heat your water for your showers and stuff like that. And actually, some of these solar water heaters will use a radiator-style system, kind of like the heater core in your car, will circulate that hot water through the heater core and then heat the cool air and cause you know, your room to get warm and such. And so there's all kinds of different solutions on how to transfer energy from one place to the next. See, I'm looking forward to the future, because at some point in the future, they're going to figure this out. They're going to get it, you know. There's halogen bulbs out there. Those things get extremely hot. One of the reasons why they get extremely hot is because of the way they're designed, that the element inside that halogen bulb is really close to the glass, and so it transfers that heat. It also has halogen in there that you know, you get a white light off of, which we like the bright light of halogen. But halogen bulbs also have a flaw in them, to the extent that if you get any kind of like a thumbprint on there, the oil off your finger is enough to cause a hot spot in that halogen bulb, which causes it to crack the glass, and then the vacuum fails, and then the bulb obviously fails. So when you're replacing those halogen bulbs, you got to be really careful not to get any oil off of your fingers on there. And if for some reason you do, you get some alcohol and clean it down really good with a tissue and get all that dirt or whatever's on that bulb off of there, so that it doesn't create a hot spot and cause the bulb to fail prematurely. So With that said, there's a lot of heat that's actually generated by the halogen bulb because of the way that it's designed. And so that's one method by which you could actually find a heat source that you could transfer. Now, a long time ago, I did a video called Vacuum Spark Gap, where I took an old headlamp out of an automobile that was burnt out. And using a Beckett oil burner igniter, which basically runs at about 20 kilovolts, 20,000 volts, and high frequency wave that's generated off of that oil burner igniter. Now, oil burner igniter only draws milliamps. It's I can't remember, it's like 300 milliamps or something like that. I'll have to look it up, find out for sure. But it's really not that much. But anyway, that because of the frequency, it was able to literally leap across the broken part in the tungsten element and still vibrate that light, that tungsten element, and produce visible light. Now, it wasn't quite as bright as it would have been, you know, with the straight connection on there. However, it did light. So that tells me that if you had the right frequency, you could literally jump across that gap and cause that element to get hot. And so I'm going to run some tests on like halogen bulbs and stuff like that that are burned out, and I'm going to put high voltage, high frequency waves through there to see if I can get the same result, which I do believe I can. And also, like I mentioned earlier, the the doggone way that we actually generate electric heat through resistive loads. See, like nichrome wire, nickel chromium wire, it's really resistant to current flow. All right, and that's why you use that for all kinds of stuff. Like they'll make hot wire so that they can cut styrofoam with them, and they'll make heater elements out of them, out of this wire, and they also use this wire in some forms of welding as well. But if you can find the frequency at which you can vibrate this nickel chromium wire, then you could get this thing to vibrate without having to try to pass a lot of current through there, and be able to get, instead of using it as a resistive load, use the vibration that's going on in there to produce the friction, which in turn produces the heat and the visible light that you see. So there is a solution out there. There's ZVS drivers that they use for like induction heating, and these drivers, their weak point is in the MOSFETs or transistors that they use, the circuitry. You have to keep that circuitry cool, otherwise you burn them transistors out too fast by drawing too much current through them. So if you can design a system which you can keep those transistors cool while at the same time getting the high frequency out there on a continuous basis to basically vibrate that wire rapidly enough to cause it to get red hot, then now you got a heat source. Now that heat source in itself probably isn't going to be, you know, really super efficient about heating the surrounding air, because that's a trick right there. You got to be able to transfer that heat from that red hot wire to the air, and so it's all going to be about how you space these coils out and the design that you use. Maybe some sort of backing reflective plate that will cause it to get hot as well and radiate that heat out into the air and heat the room more efficiently. But there's also other methods, such as what we mentioned just about earlier, about the way that this hot water heater, a larger hot water heater that can store more heat energy. If you get that water hot, and you can keep it hot using a heating element that is not using a lot of current flow, that's only using frequency to cause the wire to vibrate, but it's still nonetheless getting hot, that you could transfer that heat into a medium that would store heat more efficiently and longer, for longer terms as such. So the concept is re-engineering a heating system that's going to use all the best of physics to literally make this the most efficient as possible. And even be able to do it on a scale to where the average Joe can repeat the experiment, so to speak. So, you know that current flow can't flow through a broken element. But high frequency, because of its nature of how that energy actually travels, it will leap across that gap to ground. It'll ionize the gas in between there. So inside of, a argon field or a neon bulb or any of the noble gases, it'll energize that gas into the fourth state of matter, being plasma. So now you'll get either a purple light or an orange light or a white light or whatever, according to whatever gas it is. They tend to put off different colors for each of the different gases. If you Google it up, there's actually a scale out there, or basically a picture. Actually, I think I posted it on the Mad Science podcast page. Let me look and see if I can find that, and I will paste a link to that so that you can see the different colors of the different gases, the noble gases. Some call them inert gases, some call them noble gases, but nonetheless, the gases, they're not explosive, which is a good thing. And unlike in the old days when they used they still do today. They still use mercury vapors in different types of applications. There's also sodium bulbs that they use as well. But let me see, view image. Do. Okay, I gotta copy that. Select all, copy. Nobody wants to hear me talk while I do all that. All right, so I'm gonna post this over there in the super chat. It's a link to a picture that's on the Mad Science podcast page, and it shows you colors of different noble gases when they're energized into the plasma state. I also did a video called Plasma Water Heater that would really be worth looking into. And my biggest problem that I've had in order to get that doggone thing together, I want people to be able to see the reaction inside there, so I've been attempting to make it out of glass, and I don't have the capabilities at this time to be able to seal it up properly. Haven't figured out a good method to do it. Anyway, the gases, helium, neon, argon, krypton, and xenon, they all got like different colors. Like helium's kind of a pinkish color, neon's kind of an orange color, argon is like a purple color, and krypton is like a white color, and xenon is more like of a purple color, a bluish purple, sort of. Anyway, when these are gases are hit with high frequency, and actually, like a neon bulb, it takes about 90 volts in order to light up a little neon bulb. 60 to 90 volts, somewhere in that range. And so, basically, what's going on inside there is that energy is actually causing those gas molecules to, you know, bang into each other, to vibrate rapidly, and then they produce friction, which in turn produces heat and visible light. So the plasma water heater that I was talking about is basically the equivalent of a vacuum spark gap that is filled up with a noble gas. And so what happens is the high voltage, high frequency, which also has heat properties to it as well, is energizing that gas into the fourth state of matter, being plasma. That heat is then in turn transferred through the copper and into whatever liquid you circulate inside there, which in that case would be water. So you would heat your water with high voltage, high frequency at low watts and low amperage, because you don't need a lot of amperage in order to be able to generate that that type of energy. And that's what I believe is going to be the key to the future of heating, if it's if you utilize that that knowledge. So I'm putting a call out there to anybody who has the capability, anybody who knows somebody who's into neon signs and stuff like that, to help me build a custom reactor like this, filled up with any of these noble gases. I'd probably like to try, this right here is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of these gases right here. And so I would like to try to build a replica of each the noble gases, so that we would know that it would which one would be the most efficient for generating heat, the best amount of heat. And the krypton, where I see the krypton being a good one, because it's white light, that you could actually turn a light source into a heat source as well. So using that plasma technology, you would be able to transfer the heat that is actually generated in the plasma through whatever tubing is inside there. So essentially, you got a vacuum spark gap that the voltage, the arc, is going across from one side to the other. And if you plug this into an earth ground as well, that will amplify that temperature also. So With all the noble gases that I just mentioned there, helium, neon, argon, krypton, and xenon, those are ones that should be built into a like I said, a vacuum spark gap with a tubing that goes through there that you can circulate fluid, water, or whatever you want to circulate through there. There's all kinds of potentials there. Just throwing the idea out there on the table, because if somebody takes this and runs with it, then we could actually produce some really super efficient heating systems that would benefit the world. Because as long as that high voltage arc is contained inside a vacuum, it's not going to be a fire hazard. And if it's not drawing a lot of amperage or current through the wall, then obviously your breakers, which are set anywhere from, you know, 15 to 20 to 30 amps, they're not going to be taxed and cause them to get overheat and fail and, you know, potentially start a fire or something like that. So, safety-wise, you're not going to have to worry about, you know, like radiation or x-rays and all that kind of stuff, because even if there was the potential that it could produce x-rays, you can always shield that to where it's not going to be an issue. So there's, you know, for every negative that somebody can throw in there, I'll put a positive in their way to resolve that issue. But those particular gases all have different qualities as far as the color of the light, and they also have different qualities. Way back when the mercury arc rectifier came about, it was essentially a way to take Tesla's high voltage AC and rectify it into high voltage DC so that they could run the infrastructure that Edison already had in place, that was like the elevator motors that were high voltage DC elevator motors, won't run on AC current because of the way that AC current travels. So they made this mercury arc rectifier, which essentially was a glass tube that had a little pool of mercury in the bottom of it. When the mercury got hot, it would vaporize into a gas, and the high voltage AC would continue to come in, which would energize that mercury into plasma and pressurize that tube, forcing the electron flow in one specific direction, thus forth making DC current. So the technology's already been around, and we need heating systems that are more efficient than what we've got today, because all these heaters that we're running today, they're like spinning the meter on the pole like a top, you know, and that costs you money. So if you can transfer that heat energy from a low powered source and be able to store it in tanks for later use, then you're going to increase your efficiency, which added to that, solar power, basically during daylight when the sun's out, you're grabbing up some of that energy. When the wind is out during nighttime, you're using wind turbines to charge up batteries. And what I'm talking about with the high frequency, we can do it with transistors and MOSFETs. We can build circuitry that requires such low current, but will produce a massive amount of high voltage at high frequencies that can do the same job for a fraction of the cost that it would be to run a resistive heater, such as the ones with tungsten wires in them, or even the nickel chromium wires, nichrome for short. And if that's done, then that's one less thing on there. As far as the cooling, we know how to basically take heat and turn it into cool air. We can cause a gas to expand and then allow that gas to pressurize and then release that gas rapidly into an expansion chamber. I said expand first. Now, you pressurize it, basically compress that gas, and then it allows it to expand rapidly into an expansion chamber. Well, there's several ways to compress gas. The most inefficient way is to use an actual compressor. But if you heat something, it expands. And if you cool it, it contracts. So using the same process by which we're energizing this gas into plasma, we can use the heat to actually cause a gas to pressurize enough into the container that it's in that it will literally compress itself. So once that gas is compressed and you release it into an expansion chamber, it does an opposite, which causes a cooling effect. So there's methods by which we could actually build not just really super efficient heaters, but also super efficient air conditioning units as well, that don't actually have a compressor that has to kick on every so often in order to compress that gas and so on. So this is what we're talking about, is trying to find more efficient ways to get what we all need. We need to be warm in the winter, we need to be cool in the summer, that kind of stuff. Body's 98.6 degrees. Anything below or above that starts to become uncomfortable. Sorry, I had to take a drink of my coffee. But using plasma technology, the type of plasma that I'm talking about, not the crazy version of the shysters that run out there. Anyway, I don't even want to get into that part, but this is actual plasma. Energizing a gas into the fourth state of matter, where you not only get visible light, but you get heat as well. So, if there's anybody out there who, you know, is in contact with anybody who does any neon signs and stuff like that, who is really good with, putting glass together and vacuuming it down and all that kind of stuff, the trick to this whole process is actually getting these tubes into the glass, vacuumed down with the noble gas, and being able to make sure that it's sealed when it's all said and done. Where there's a will, there's a way. There's definitely a way to do it. It's just that I don't have the capabilities to do it myself. I've spent a lot of money on trying to build a plasma reactor, but it always ended up in failure because it either leaked or I broke the glass. So there's another thing. Being able to drill holes in glass, we have bits out there that are diamond bits that are able to drill holes in glass, but it's a really sketchy project when you're trying to get it through there without cracking that glass. Now, there's probably a method by which you could actually form the glass around the element and then blow air into it, but once again, it's a trick. So if this technology was really taken serious and you wanted to transfer that heat into it, we could do it in the milliamp range as opposed to what we're doing now. You know, 1500 watt space heater, that'll take a drain on your not just your light bill, but it causes the wiring in your house to get hot as well. You got too many of them running on one circuit, obviously that circuit can't hold up to it. They can only hold so many amps, and then they'll pop the breaker. And hopefully, if the fake breaker fails, it'll do worse than that. It'll cause a wire fire in your house, and you don't need that. And so this is why we need more safer, more efficient ways to generate heat, to heat the air in the room. And, save a lot of lives. And there's a lot of people that get cold, and they don't do so well. A lot of people died because of the doggone either the heat from heat stroke or hypothermia from getting too cold. And I think that this technology, if the world would actually take it serious and start to build it, and I don't even care if a company out there goes out there and steals the idea and patents it and then sells it to everybody else, as long as I know it's safe and efficient, I'll go out and buy one myself. So, it's just a point of getting it out there into the market. That's the whole deal. If you're trying to get rich off stuff, they'll shut you down if you're going to dig into their wallet. And that's how that works. So if you try to patent an idea and it's going to cause the mainstream industry to lose money, they'll fight against you to do it. And like the power company obviously doesn't want you to have a more efficient heater. While at one hand they say they do, they don't. Because the more electricity you use, the more money they make. And know, they'll tell you otherwise. But that's that's pure ridiculousness, because that's how they make money. They go out there and they produce electricity for a whole lot of customers, and they get money back from the government. They get money from all the people, and so on. Excuse me. I gotta get another drink. That's why I wish somebody would join me on this mad science show today, so I didn't have to talk so much. Radio silence. So anyway, there's a lot of people out there in need of heating and cooling. And those two parts right there are the most expensive parts of your electrical uses, your energy uses, is trying to heat your home. Now, wood heat can be pretty efficient, but it can be even more efficient if these heaters were engineered to do more than just push off radiant heat. And a lot of that heat energy is wasted right up the chimney. And so there are ways that people have actually used to recover some of that lost heat as it's going up the chimney. Like, for example, the copper tubing. They'll circulate copper tubing and wrap it around the chimney pipe, and then insulate around that. And as the heat's rising up there, some of that heat transfers through, and they use it to heat their water in their hot water heaters. And of course, you got to have a safety valve on there somewhere with something that'll blow that any excess pressure that's built up, because that's going to continuously add energy to that water, which after a while, once that water gets to a certain temperature, it'll start boiling. Well, proof of what I'm saying is, if you go back and you look at my redneck hot tub video, I'm heating that entire hot tub with a coffee pot element. And I can take that, and within around about 4 hours, I can get that water hot enough that when it's out there in the, even in the snow, if that water's already been preheated and then it snows outside, gets colder than heck, that little bit of energy that continuously comes into that water will cause that water to get hot. So underneath that hot tub, there wasn't no insulation, and it was open to the air, but yet that water would get hot enough that you could sit in that hot tub even in the winter time. During the summertime, it's even more than that. You'd have to shut it off after a while because it would get so hot you couldn't sit in it. So once you get that up to operating temperature, it don't take nothing to maintain it, which made it really super efficient. Basically heating that hot tub for the equivalence of what it costs to run your average coffee pot. So, what I got a message in there. Alright, well, anyway, so, in order to be able to make things more safe and more energy efficient, there's technology already available out there. But to get it actually out to the people and to prove every concept of what we're talking about, you know, it's all based on actual science. But the biggest problem that you have isn't the fact that we don't have the answers. It's the fact that you can't get enough people together to do the work necessary, or to finance or fund the research into all these technologies. Now, the companies and corporations, if they see something that's potential like this, they'll snatch it up and either patent it and then shelve it so that they can sell their, you know, other types of space heaters before, you know, get all those sold off. And then once everybody's bought up all those, then possibly put a more super efficient out there, but as in competition to anybody else selling space heaters. Now, they're the leader in the market, because if I got a space heater that'll run off of 12 volts at a low amperage, low wattage, and you're trying to sell one that takes a lot of amperage, a lot of wattage to run, it's obvious I'm going to sell mine faster. So, you know, to me, I don't even care if a company came out and got the idea, as long as they put them out there on the market to where these particular designs that could be engineered would be really safe. And you wouldn't have to worry about wire fires and all that kind of stuff, and it would reduce the so-called carbon footprint, which you all know how I feel about that ridiculousness. These particular style designs, when I talk about the plasma water heater, it doesn't have to be made out of glass. You could engineer it to be made out of just like the microwave magnetron. That thing actually has a vacuum inside of it. And it works like a light bulb, but produces heat, which in turn releases electrons into the system and causes the microwave to be formed. So anyway, to make this a little more simple, if there's anybody out there who's familiar with and works building neon signs, and I can get in contact with them, and they'd be willing to invest a little bit of time and effort into basically humoring me long enough to build something. If we could build the first prototype and show, and the measurements would be ridiculously simple to prove that it would be really energy efficient in order to be able to do what it is that I'm talking about. You'd have a heating system that would require a very, very small minimum as opposed to what these ones are doing right now. Now, I got two space heaters kind of running in here, but I got them turned way down so that I don't blow a breaker, but I'm still cold in this room. And they're not energy efficient. It takes a lot to cool, to heat air. But there's other heating systems out there, methods by which to heat water. Stephen posted one in the chat room earlier that basically is, where is it at? Okay, world's most efficient over unity ultrasonic water heater from WITS, www.wits.ws or whatever. Anyway, there's a deal out there called cavitation, and this isn't the only version I've seen out there. There's one called hydrosonic. Basically, takes a drum that has a whole bunch of holes drilled in it at specific angles, and it's in a really close sleeve. Then they basically take an electric motor and they spin this water really fast in there, and it creates a water hammer that causes the water to get hot really fast. And so they're like super efficient. There's actually a firehouse out there, and we actually did a podcast, played a podcast on the show a while back where they were using this at a firehouse that they were using for hot water in there, and they did all the measurements on there and said it was like over 100% efficient. It was, they were getting more money, the more money's worth for the energy put into it, they were getting more energy out of the doggone thing. Of course, now if you take it to any mainstream science guy, they're going to try to fight against it and reject it. My advice to the world out there is leave science out of it, at least the mainstream science. Get mad science involved in it. Don't go try to get some sort of validation from the science community, because you won't get it, because they fight against anything that would be called over unity or zero point or free energy or whatever. They don't want no part of it because they don't want to lose their credibility, and they don't want to lose their funding. They don't want to lose their cushy lifestyle by lying for the government. So that's the way. You just stay away from the doggone mainstream scientists. They're worthless. Flat out worthless. Yeah, I said it. NASA's been ripping people off for years. Just basically stealing millions of dollars. And last I heard, their budget was $50 million a day. Do you realize what an alternative energy community could do with $50 million? That we'd already had it solved in the first day. We wouldn't even have had to go on into basically robbing the people of the world on a regular basis for $50 million a whack. $50 million is more than enough to build these devices that I'm talking about, multiple devices in multiple different areas, and be able to prove energy efficiency and even free energy for that matter. But these jive turkeys that are in charge out there are willing to give an organization like NASA, which has done absolutely no good for humanity whatsoever. And I don't care who gets mad about that. That's why I call it mad science. You can get mad about it all you want. But in reality, if they had the technology that they claim, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. They're talking about we got climate change due to man-made carbon emissions, which is completely and utterly ridiculous when it comes to true science. But nonetheless, that's what they said. Now, if you can't resolve that with $50 million a day, then you're just not trying. You're not paying attention to science whatsoever. And they lie to the children in school and tell them all this stuff about global warming and climate change and the polar bear is going to drown and so on and so forth. It's all ridiculousness. And I'm sitting here and I'm pointing out all these different types of methods by which you can use, like cavitation to heat water super efficiently, and using plasma technology to heat water super efficiently. And being able to use that storage of that hot water as the equivalence of a battery. Anytime you store energy, whether it be in a capacitor or a tank of water or whatever, that is still energy. And if that guy's writing in that deal and you're getting 12 kilowatts from a 52-tank hot water heater worth of energy in the form of heat, then there's something to be said about that. And then all you have to do from that point on is just maintain just a constant flow of energy into it. And it doesn't even have to be a lot of energy. So, you know, let me, I'm going to add somebody to the call here. Yay! Ah. Hi, lady!
Oh my gosh, hi!
We're live.
We are, eh?
Yeah, so basically, I'm trying to help the world out by figuring a method to get people motivated to actually, because heating and cooling is the most expensive portion of your energy usage. And I'm saying that there are more efficient ways to do it, but to get the mainstream science community on board is like impossible. I'm telling everybody, ignore the mainstream science and don't look for validation from the mainstream science community. Just take it and see if it works, and if it works, use it. You see what I mean?
Well, I do see what you mean. I was saying in the chat, I don't know nothing about science. I'm a naturalist or a naturist, and then I got... Then Stephen took me down a pathway of, oh, is that one of those people running around without clothes on? But I feel, yeah, you can't listen to mainstream anything. Yeah. And I think that people, you know, I'm just, a thought popped into my mind, that's why I came on here, because, you know, I think that all that you're talking about is really extraordinary. You know, that all the things that you tell us, they are available and people are doing these things, but I think it's not enough. And your general, you know, population listens, like I'm listening to you and I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Huh. I know it's a good idea. I know that you've studied these things and I know you know and believe in it, and I believe in it too, but what popped into my mind was, well, it may come to a point where people have to start doing these things, you know, where people will have to.
Well, I hope so. I hope so for their own good. But see, here's the problem. In all the other alternative energy researchers, like Stan Myers showed everybody how to run a car using hydrogen technology with a customized injection system, basically using radio waves to separate the water. He got whacked. All right, Tesla showed everybody wireless energy, which could have been free energy for anybody who had an antenna. he got ripped off as well. John Bedini here recently, he was a guy that showed people how to build really super efficient motor generators. And John Bedini's no longer around. Him and his brother both, they both had issues, which ended up...
What kind of issues? I mean, there's always some kind of issue appearing when people discover things and create things that go against the system.
Yeah, basically, both of them had, you know, problems that led to death.
Oh, those kinds of problems.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking at all that, aren't we? You know, it's kind of a sad state of affairs, and I think there's so many signs of that, that, you know, across the board where people are, you know, talking about the way we can help ourselves. And, you know, it's obvious to many of us that the government or the system doesn't want us to help ourselves. They want us to be completely dependent. And, of course, that becomes, you know, like you're locked into their system and there is no freedom, right?
Yeah,
freedom of, you know, creativity.
Thing.
I think they want to kill the creativity, you know, and I think they start that well in the early stages of life, is to just to kill a child or a person's creativity.
Yeah, that's what I think the doggone schools are these days, essentially to dumb kids down so that when they get out there, they'll just believe whatever they're told. And, you know, folks, it sounds like a conspiracy theory, because that's one of the reasons they put that out there as far as a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy, just to make anybody who questions the norm look stupid. When in reality, if you watch with your own two eyes, you can see it going on. I mean, all these different technologies that we've mentioned here on the show, they're not rocket science. They're all based on basic science. We know heat transfers. We know how heat transfers. We know heating, the way that we're doing it right now with resistive loads, is super inefficient. If it's causing your wiring in the wall to get hot, then that's not only dangerous, it's inefficient. And that's what I've been trying to point out to everybody, and trying to get people on board. All these scientists, all these researchers that they call, you know, like garage scientists or pseudo-scientists, these are real scientists. I don't care what the mainstream science people say. The mainstream scientists are the hacks. The mainstream scientists are the ones who sold their soul to the devil and essentially got bought off for their funding for their research. They don't care about anybody else's research, and they will come out there and they will say everything they can to discourage people from believing that this technology is even possible. So what I keep advising all these different researchers out there, if you ever got an invention that you believe works, do not, under any circumstance, take it to the doggone mainstream scientists for validation. You don't need validation. If that works, you can show people that it works. They can do their own measurements on a doggone deal, and it'll prove itself. You don't need these hacks that have sold their soul to the devil to tell you that your creativity isn't worthy of science, and then you're not going to get accreditation for it. You're not going to get credit for it because they're a little club or whatever they want to call it won't validate the science. The heck with them, and the heck with the patent office. You know, the patent office, if you go there try to get something patented, they will give you every problem in the world. Try to say, well, you know, you can't do that or whatever, perpetual motion's not possible, blah blah. Forget the patent office. Forget the mainstream scientists, and take it to the people. Show the people. That's how you get it done. The other method is you go like the way of Stan Myers, John Bedini, and all the other researchers who come out with brilliant ideas and then just for some reason die of a heart attack or, you know, lead poisoning or whatever.
Or self-suicide.
Yeah, suicide. he shot himself
suicided.
In the face a
he
thousand
shot himself
times.
While he was falling off the cliff or
yeah. That's the whole thing. And he stabbed himself in the back 100 times by accident. Come on,
well,
people.
What we're talking about is the system versus the people.
Yep.
The system versus the people. And everything, you know, we are under a dire system. a systematic setup, really, to control all the people, to control the creativity, to squash your creativity. And if you actually break through, like some of these people you're talking about, and do bring this out into the public, they'll take exactly what you have, and then they'll suicide you.
Oh, yeah. And the government's even got a fallback plan where they call it a matter of national security. So
oh, you, that. I love yeah. that.
So
I love national security issues.
Yeah. So if you get an idea that could disrupt the system, so to speak, and cause a security issue such as like the oil industry, we're on the petrodollar here in the United States, which means we're backed by oil, right? Whatever the price of oil is will determine what our doggone paper monopoly money's worth. And
right.
So if I come out with a free energy device that is proven that that they can't debunk and everybody knows it works, well, they will come in and they will say, what's a matter of national security? We got to take this device. And they say that they can use it, don't matter if you, even if you got a patent on it, they can use it if it's in the matter of national security. And so what I'm trying to get across to the people is, to heck with the government. To heck with the doggone mainstream scientists. You don't need their validation. You don't need that piece of paper for a patent or anything
like
that.
Now, wait a second now. But that means you're going to become now a terrorist.
Oh, sure.
Now you're a terrorist talker.
I'm electrical terrorist.
Electrical terrorist.
Yeah.
But I'm an herbal terrorist.
Yeah, so you're going to get me some free medicine, and they can't have that. You know, I go out and get some dandelion tea, and it makes me feel better. Oh, no, you can't be, that's illegal there. You can't have dandelion tea. You got to buy our cold medicine.
Well, you know, we have to find some humor in all this nightmare.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it's so absurd when you talk like this. You got to realize how absurd it is, but it's very real. It's like a bad sci-fi we're living in, right?
Yeah, that's why I call it mad science. Look, if you
I'm mad.
I am. I'm really frustrated. If you go to the mainstream scientist and you got a brilliant idea and you try to share it with, by the time you get through talking to that science guy, you come out all depressed and doubting yourself because. You know, he's saying it won't work. He's supposed to be smart. He's got the white coat, right? No, he don't. What he's got is a school book that he repeats like a mockingbird. And no matter what you say, he's going to fight against you and tell you all these mathematical reasons why it won't work. But I'm sitting here, look, one of the most brilliant things that I ever saw in my life. I got this friend who's super intelligent in the book. Right, and I was running a project on my table, and he came over, and I was explaining to him how it worked. Well, then he starts quoting the laws of physics to me and said, well, no, that's just not possible. And I'm saying, brother, you're sitting there looking at it. It's working. Explain it. He got mad and left, because he couldn't.
Well, you know, these are like those, they're puppets, you know.
Yeah.
And they've been, like you said something before that, you know, is one of my favorite subjects. It's not a pleasant subject, but it's one of my favorites that I like to talk about, and it's selling your soul to the devil.
That's what they
and
do.
This is a real thing. When you say those words, people just let it pass by, and they go, oh yeah. But no, this is very real. And we've tagged this quite a while ago, you know, about people selling their soul to the devil. And, recently I just come to see it more and more and more, how all of these things, this whole system that we live under, it's the education system, the political system, the financial system, the religious system, is pretty much all in their own conspiracy, really, to hold everybody captive.
Yeah.
And go by their rule book, you know. Who set that rule book in place? Because, you know, who set all this system in place that is so destructive? You know, I mean, we point fingers at specific people. I've come to a place where I realize, yeah, okay, people say, well, Trump is a big problem, Trump is this and Trump is that. Or it's the Bilderbergs, or it's the Illuminati, or whomever it is, there's always somebody to point the finger at, but I think people are missing the real source of all this evil. And we know who that is. You know, we know what that is.
There's a darkness behind the scene. There's a reason why people do rotten stuff.
Exactly. And, you know, I think people have gotten away from that. I think there's a deliberate disconnect from that. You know, why would... Here's a question for you. In the last 2 years, there have been little blurbs in the news about the Pope basically asking or setting up more classes or more teachings for exorcists. You know, and you have to ask yourself, why?
Yeah, why?
Well, he said it. He said because evil is rising, and boy, I've seen that too. And I think, well, if the church is teaching, is training priests in exorcism, what on earth is going on?
Yeah, they don't do something for nothing. Even the government don't do something for nothing. There's always a reason behind everything that they do. You know, might not be a good reason, but nonetheless, you know, there's a purpose. And there's a purpose, there's a reason why all these technologies that I keep talking about, people keep fighting against it. And even out there in the people community, the average Joe out there who went to college or, you know, high school or whatever and got an education, and they got these things like the laws of thermodynamics where they want you to think that they're really smart, and they'll start quoting these laws of thermodynamics to you and misquoting them, by the way. They don't understand what it is that they're saying, but all they're doing is convincing the next guy over who's not sure whether this technology is any good or not that it's not going to work because this law says that. That's the whole key. This law says you can't do this, but this test in reality shows that you can do it. You see what I mean?
Well, I do. It's aggravating. But you have to know, the people have to know. That, and I don't think this is what, I think this is the issue here, is that people are so dumbed down and brainwashed to believe in authority.
Yep.
You know, and so those that claim that they are the authorities, and pretty much we know who they are, they have that agenda. That's their plan, is to basically have everybody turn to them. When you have a question or somebody introduces something new that might be helpful or different or whatever, they turn immediately to hear what the authorities say. Nobody's paying attention to what their own heart or spirit or their own inner wisdom could say to them. And so nobody turns to that anymore. Everybody turns to the authorities. And that's pretty much what we're living under, the authorities, the thumb, the rule, the book, you know. Throw out the books.
Well, I agree. The people out there are paying groups like NASA to do research. I mean, we're paying them to boldly go where no man has gone before, right?
And well, that's what they say.
Yeah. $50 million a day, folks. I want you to think about that. Think about how big of a room you need to put $50 million in. All right? $50 million in the hands of real researchers, like Stan Myers and John Bedini and myself and other researchers out there that basically use real science, we could get things done. So instead of giving NASA $50 million a day, go out there and find your brilliant minds and put them in a building and give them all the supplies necessary to resolve the issues that people say we got. We got a super inefficient power grid. We got a super inefficient appliances. Everything that we use is used inefficiently. It takes a lot of energy to do it. And in the process of that, that means that somebody behind the scenes has to drill into the earth for oil, or they have to dig into the earth for coal, or they got to burn firewood, or they got to have some sort of fuel source. And when Stan Myers come out and said water itself is a perfect fuel source, because when you utilize the energy stored in water, you can turn around and get water right out the exhaust. So you didn't even hurt it. You just cleaned it up. And why this world wouldn't want to take advantage of the most powerful resource on the planet, including the planet itself, and working in perfect harmony, it just blows my mind, you know?
Well, it does blow our mind, doesn't it? We're always saying, what's wrong with the people? What's wrong? And, you know, why aren't people waking up? What's wrong with the people? I just have to keep returning to the generations of brainwashing.
Yeah.
And that's why we find ourselves in the position we're in. And everybody says they want peace, for instance. And everyone says they want free, you know, free powers and so on and so forth, like it's not existent.
It is. It's right there.
It's right there.
And for people that don't believe in brainwashing, let me give you a simple example. The brainwashing. On a terrible scale, nonetheless. If you start to tell somebody, whether it be your spouse or your child, on a regular basis, every single day, how worthless they are. Oh, you're a terrible person. You're worthless. You're stupid. After hearing that over and over and over again, they begin to believe it. Their self-esteem and their spirit drops down to the lowest points, and they're miserable. Their life is terrible because of what you said. The words that came out of your mouth destroyed their life because they believed it. That's brainwashing. And it happens on a regular basis. It needs to stop.
But well, you know, I agree with you there so strongly because I'm a perfect example of that, you know. I was born in 1942, and so you kind of get an idea of my age. I had a learning disability, but nobody knew that during those times. Nobody had any idea about learning disabilities or dyslexia or whatever the heck it is. Nobody had any idea about that. And, it must have been really frustrating for my dad, who was quite intelligent, you know, where I'd just sit there and he'd say something to me about my homework and I just couldn't get it. I just was like, I just did not get it. I couldn't put the pieces together. And so, but he would get frustrated at me and he would over and over and over and over again for my early years just scream at me, calling me stupid. And I can remember myself, inside myself, actually telling myself, yes, I'm stupid. So I accepted it. It was very shaming and terrifying too, you know, because nobody was helping me and there I was all by myself saying, you know, well, something's really wrong with me. I'm stupid. But I remember coming to accept it and actually hearing a voice in my head. If I didn't get something or if I was met with something that I had to, you know, figure out, that voice would pop up and say, well, you're stupid, so you're not going to get this. And that's brainwashing. That is the brainwashing, because your brain responds and talks to you. You know how we have that little voice in our head, yep, tells us things about ourselves. And that was an imprint so powerful that I actually came to say to myself, well, I won't get this because I'm stupid. Well, it took me, you know, a major part of my life to realize that I'm not stupid. I'm actually brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have an issue with certain things, you know, that because of that learning disability, but I am a brilliant, intelligent woman, and I have gifts in other areas that other people may not, as we all do. You know, we're not all going to be mathematicians. We're not all going to be scientists, you know, but everybody has their gifts and excel in certain parts of their lives that others may not. But it doesn't mean that you're stupid, but like you're saying, the brainwashing, we're talking about the brainwashing, so if you have that in your own family, then that's what you carry through in your life, unless you get free of that.
Yep.
But now we're talking about a government, a systematic brainwashing through all of these systems that we're under, you know? So, and that's how severe it is. And people just hear you say, oh, well, we're all brainwashed. But they don't really get that, what it really is, and how they may be brainwashed, right?
Yep. Well, the whole thing about it is that not only do they do it on an emotional scale like that, but on your intellectual, by your father telling you all that kind of stuff, he could have hindered you from being able to become the best that you could be by finding that talent that you got. And the same thing applies in the science community. All the inventions and you know, ideas that could have came about by people testing the science, you know, they were hindered, you know, and it's still, to this very day, it's still happening. You know, maybe.
Well, you're absolutely right on that. There is a hindrance that takes place because it does prevent you from stepping out into, like, the place where you're thinking, well, I can't go there because I'll be ashamed or people will see that I'm stupid or, it's like, you know, it sets up a system where you don't excel other areas, like you're saying, where you could, you know. It's like you feel is, well, I can't expose myself. I have to hide from life, you know.
Yep, and, you know, so with that said, all these technologies that I've been talking about, because mainstream science wants to fight so hard against it, and they're supposed to be the smart ones? No.
They're not the smart ones. They sold their soul to the devil to follow the system, you know, and to destroy other people's creativity. You know, you have to ask yourself, why is that? Why wouldn't a supportive, benevolent government, or that was thinking that's supposed to be that way, why wouldn't they care to help the people?
Yeah.
You have to ask that question. Why?
Well, I mentioned on the Knights of the Round Table all the time. I'm 52 years old, okay? I may not be the oldest one on this planet, but I'm old enough to remember that as a child, I was seeing commercials on TV of children starving to death.
I know.
And there is no reason why it would take 30 to 40 years or more to resolve an issue such as that.
It hasn't even been resolved.
They haven't even started on it.
No.
They go out there and they'll have, organizations that are, you know, tax exempt that go out there and pretty much make millions of dollars. But nonetheless, nothing gets resolved. Only pennies on the dollar go to the actual person in need. And they could have long, long time ago, with the resources and technology available, uplifted these communities so that everyone would have an opportunity to enjoy life. And they haven't. And there's a reason for it. They don't want people, like, especially Africa. Africa is probably one of the most mineral-rich nations in the world. Gold and diamonds and oil and everything else. All kinds of natural resources. If they were ever to have the opportunity to utilize their own resources without having them being hindered from other nations or other superpowers, they could end up being one of the most powerful nations in the world.
Well, one time, long, long ago, they were in Africa. There were kings and queens there. I mean, they were an advanced civilization.
Now look how they live. It's sad. I said, now look how they live. It's sad.
It is sad. And that's that evil. I mean, like, I'm going to continue to say it. Evil is rising and evil is present.
Yep.
And if people don't start getting that peace, it's sort of like nobody's talking about it. So, but if the church is saying we need more exorcists because evil is rising, well, what does that tell you? I mean, are we going to be ignorant to that? Or are we going to just keep going down that pathway where, oh, everything's okay, we're okay, you know, the authorities have it in hand, they're working for our good. You know, if you don't wake up and realize what we're dealing with here on all the levels in our life, you know, and if you don't pay attention and do research, or even just pay attention to the acceleration of chaos and insanity and violence and horrible things that people are doing to each other that are shocking you every day, you have to question, what on earth is going on?
I got triggered by something you said.
Oh.
The doggone government, everybody's talking about, you know, relying on the government. See, the government got all these nifty little bunkers and everything, so when the zombie apocalypse occurs, they just go up in their bunker. They're good. They're good to go. They use.
I have to tell you something, though. The zombie apocalypse is happening right now, my friend.
Yeah.
It's not going to occur. And isn't it interesting how they put that out a couple of years ago? You started to see all this stuff about zombies. People preparing for the zombies. People talking about the zombies. People playing the role of zombies. And they say, what on earth is that? You pay attention to this stuff. I do anyway.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, then you see the people walking around living their whole life glued to some kind of a technology thing that keeps them in that zombie state of mind, where they're not even functioning as a human being. They're just connected to the technology. They're plugged in.
Yep, they're jacked in, and the key to the whole deal is why the government's up in their bunker. You're out there with the zombies. You're not going
well,
in the bunker with
Well, at least they're telling
him.
You how to deal with the zombies.
Yeah.
You got that in place, too. Here's what you do when the zombie apocalypse happens. But it's not about a bunch of dead people coming up out of the ground. We are in the zombie apocalypse.
Yep. And
you know, people are like zombies.
Like people playing Pokemon Go and walking off of cliffs because they ain't paying attention where they're going.
Wasn't that a weird one? Boy, where did that go? All of a sudden, that was in our face. People going, Pokemon walking off of cliffs into traffic, getting hit by cars.
Yep.
And now it's nothing. What's happening now? Well, there's something else they throw at us, and everybody follows it. And then they'll throw something else at us, and everybody follows it. That's the zombie apocalypse.
Uh-huh. And people getting high on bath salts and running around trying to eat other people's face off while they're butt naked.
This is another thing. The cannibalism, you know, I was listening to this talk by these ministers, you know, they're talking every once in a while. I get on one of those, so I'm going to see, well, what are these guys thinking of all that's happening? And they were talking about this cannibalism, this rise of cannibalism. And, you know, it's true. This is not a joke. More and more in the news, we see this. People, so-and-so did this and you know, came to do this cannibalism thing, and there was this couple in Russia. It was mind blowing. I don't know if you saw that. This was months ago. They found this couple in Russia who had been practicing cannibalism for years, you know, and a couple of other things in the news about here in this country, you know, about some guy, young man, I can't remember who it was, who killed people and then ate them up. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, you know, and these ministers were talking about this. They were talking about this in relation to what was in the Bible.
Yeah.
About what was happening when the Nephilim or the Nephilim were here on the earth and what they did, it's noted in the Bible about how
during the days of Noah, when the giants and everybody was eating people and
that's right. There you go.
Yeah.
Exactly. And how that is coming back. How they see all these things unfolding that are in the Bible, and what they feel is coming is returning. You know, this madness, this evil, and it's across the board, this evil. So I think that, you know, so there's this system. Here we are trying to survive and live our lives and have better lives, and like you're sharing your information and how we can do certain things. And meanwhile, all this is being prevented to keep people, you know, in fear of each other, hopeless, because people are believing that it's hopeless, because that's part of the agenda too. It is not hopeless, and we are not helpless, just as you are describing.
Yep. That's what I've been trying to get across to people for a long time. I catch a lot of grief from a lot of people out there on YouTube. I mean, I try to share an idea with somebody and get people's mind to thinking. And some of the things that are said to me, it's just rotten, man. And I don't get it, because the governments of the world said that we have an energy crisis. They said that our planet was heating up due to carbon emissions, which I totally disagree with. But nonetheless, I put the solution on the table and ideas that would lead to other solutions, and you would expect that the average Joe paying attention, even if they weren't science guys or gals, that would want to try to basically support their researchers like that. But no, it's totally opposite. They support the mainstream science by spewing out the same doggone stuff that the mainstream science are. Well, that's not possible. That's not free energy. Why isn't it free energy? The sun gave the solar panel electricity that I then in turn run my lights with, and I could run that all day long and never have to pay electric bill on those lights. That was free to me. It cost me to get the solar panels, but everything after that, I didn't have to pay for that electricity. When the wind blew, I didn't have to pay for that either. The river rushing down the stream, do you think those people, once they built that hydroelectric dam that pushes out all the power to the towns and the cities and stuff like that, they're not paying for that river to run. They're just paying maintenance, which every so often they got to maybe patch a leak here or there or whatever. But nonetheless, it's coming out of the money that you're giving them hand over fist just to utilize what nature had provided for free. There's where the ridiculousness not lies. And when people are getting suicided or, you know, having lead poisoning or whatever, accidentally stabbing themselves in the back 30 times by accident, of course, you know, quotes, air quotes. And nonetheless, these folks are the ones that should have been protected by the community, because those were the ones out there honestly trying to do something positive for the community. If you don't,
well, I have to say that I have been attacked in my life from many sources, from people who have been manipulated to do that because they have no clue. You know, brainwashed to do that. The naysayers, I call them. There will always be those naysayers. And they are on the wrong track, of course, and they have been manipulated. And I have been attacked by demonic entities. I know they exist. And if people don't want to hear that, I'm sorry, it's real. But I feel that there's part of the agenda is to pull people away from the knowledge and wisdom that has been, you know, given to us. The words of Yeshua, the words of, you know, that are written in the Bible, the stories of the evil in the Bible, the stories of the dark. Yeah, nobody wants to go there, but folks, this is really real. You can't ignore. You have to know your enemy, I guess, don't you think, Shazuz?
Yeah, and you know, one of the strangest things that gets me is every time somebody sees something rotten, even though they might say that they don't believe that evils exist, the very first thing that comes out of their mouth whenever they see somebody do something really rotten, they say, oh, that's evil, you know, that's terrible. Well, yeah, we've been telling you that.
Yeah, and it's real.
It's real.
It's just, but people just use these rhetorics, and they don't really know what they're saying. They don't really know the source, you know, and this is what I'm talking about. This is a deliberate, you know, I mean, we have to keep making this statement to dumb down the people, to affect their thinking abilities, to affect their sensing abilities, the natural sensing or sensory perceptions that we were all given. Does this feel right? Does this feel okay? Does this feel wrong? Does this feel bad? Does this feel dark? You know, what is this feeling that I'm getting that I'm ignoring because my brain, that's brainwashed to say certain things, is taking over?
Yep, and you know, it's really frustrating when it comes down to technology, because there's people that are actually dying of hypothermia in the wintertime because they can't afford electricity.
Wow, I know. Did you see that news thing about what's going on there in Los Angeles? I don't know, Los Angeles, they got this street or whole section there with homeless people living out on the street. Thousands of homeless people, and that's just one city. I was thinking of those poor people out there, and I always, when we get these kinds of temperatures, I always put out prayers for these people to find safety, you know, because I can't imagine being out there with a plastic tarp over me and in a cardboard box. And but this is how people here in the United States, yeah, all over the world, are living.
Yep. And it's sad because we got all the technologies and resources to make it so that they would have some comfort and not have to suffer through that.
Well, there's a way to help these people, but you know what they're doing now? They're giving them free bus tickets to bus them out of the cities. They don't care where they go.
Yeah, out of sight, out of mind.
Come on. I mean, this is what we do. You know, you pass by a person on the street who can't even walk and holding out their hand, and you just pass them by because you're going to dinner with your friends.
Yeah.
This is where we are, folks.
One of these days, that might be you down there.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
It could very well.
And so what I've been trying to say to people all along, you know, if there's people out there dying of heat stroke in one part of the country because they can't stay cool, and they're dying of hypothermia in another, that seems to be like a big problem. Especially, you know, if they're dying of hunger. That's one that gets me really bad, because when I was a kid, I was raised in a poor family. We didn't always have the luxuries of a really good meal. And I knew what it was like to go hungry. So
right.
I've lived it. I can talk about it. But nonetheless, We got resolutions, we got answers and solutions for every single one of these problems, but we can't seem to, for some reason, get the industries and the so-called representatives of the world on board, or even, for that matter, getting the people on board. The people, you know, what you just said about them walking past somebody that's in need, they look at down at people and they say crazy things like, well, if I give them money, they'll just go buy drugs. You know, that's what you were told to say by the system.
That's exactly right. Or alcohol. Nah, don't give them money. Don't feed those people that are starving. You'll get arrested if you feed those people.
Yep.
Why? I mean, this is training everyone to be horrible, to be, I think it's the morals and the empathy is going down the drain, and that's a deliberate thing where you can just pass by some poor person. Think about it. It's sort of like some older person, you know, somebody's grandpa or someone's grandma out there on the street with all their belongings in a grocery store cart. I have seen that. Yep. And I think that could be me. What do they say? Therefore, the grace of God go I.
Yep.
And you have to look at that, because this is what's happening today. Is you look at someone out on the street with no home, no warmth, no food, no love, no nurturing, no laughter, no family, nothing. And you know, it's just unbelievable what is going on in this country and around the world. And I see people becoming more and more and more like stones.
Yeah.
They just have no feeling, nothing.
What blows me away is how hard the average Joe will work, honestly, work really hard to secure their own oppression. That's it. They will work hard, they will fight against you to secure that themselves, their freedoms is oppressed by government entities and corporations. You gotta pay the man, otherwise you can't stay warm. Some people can't afford to pay the man because for whatever reason, health-wise or financial reason, they don't have the money to be able to afford things. And I'm sitting here saying that there are more efficient manners in which people, this one, it's this fuelless heater. It's basically uses cavitation. It takes a drum that has a bunch of holes in it and spins the water through a pipe, causing an old effect that's been known for years, way back whenever they had steam generating powers, that water hammer. Barbara, do you remember when you were younger how, like, the schools and stuff had radiators in them?
Of course I do.
You remember that? You remember that clanging noise that you kept hearing every so often when those? That's called a water hammer.
And okay.
It has a lot of power. It actually can break pipes, because what happens is you get a little bit of moisture flies down that pipe and hits a curve in that pipe and then slams against the wall and produces a big old sound called a water hammer. But it also produces heat and power while it's doing that. And so they got to adjust the boiler down so it ain't getting that water hammer anymore. Otherwise, it could damage and explode a pipe. Well, this guy took that knowledge of the old water hammer and how it was done to literally build a generating system that has an electric motor on it, has a drum that spins around and causes an intentional water hammer in the system, causes the water to get really hot really rapidly, and all he has to do is keep that electric motor going. And according to his measurements, he's getting 70% more power out than he's putting in. According to mainstream science, that's not possible. And the mainstream science were sitting out there saying, well, you know, it's all about his measurement, and we can't measure it, so we can't validate it. To heck with that. I don't care if you can validate it. This man's producing steam power with an electric motor and a drum with holes drilled in it, producing the same effect that we already know damages pipes, then to me, he's getting out more power than he put in. And that would be a more efficient way in order to generate steam, even more efficient than nuclear power, even more efficient than a coal-fired power plant, because you could replicate this system and only have to have a 220-volt powerful electric motor to spin this massive drum that's actually producing steam on demand, So all you got to do is keep power to that one little generator as opposed to this massive generator in order to get the same results or better. That's efficiency.
Well, I have to keep asking the question, who would lose? Who is it that would lose if all these technologies and these ways that people are coming up with come forth and are accepted? Who is it that would lose?
The power brokers of the world, the power industries, those same ones that are oppressing the people. If the people ever decided they wanted to take the power, they could take these technologies and run with them. And then when those folks' wallet got thin, they'd have their own selves to blame for it because they pushed the people past the limit. You know, it's one thing paying an electric man to turn your light switch on. So you don't have to go out there and, you know, stoke the furnace at the coal-fired power plant. All you have to do is walk over and turn the light on. For that, you give the man some money, and you know he's got to do some repairs. And then Uncle Sam wants to get his taxes out of it. But to the state that it is today, if you match today's electric bill up with my grandfather's electric bill, he was hollering over a $20 electric bill. I get anywhere from $350 to $600 a month light bills.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a lot of money. All right, imagine what I could do with all that money as far as research just by taking my house off the power grid. And that may be how it has to come down. I may have to just do it the hard way, take my house off the power grid, save all that money and put it into research. Whatever I would have spent on electricity prior, I put it into research and share that information with the world out there. You know, that's the only way I'm going to be able to set an example for everybody else so that they know they can do it. There's people out there who want to be off the power grid. But when they're arguing with you over technologies because they don't understand it because the book says something different than what you're trying to explain to them, they said that nobody would ever fly. The Wright brothers proved them wrong.
Absolutely. You could go down a long list of those naysayers that have stood up and said, that's not going to work. No, that's not going to work. No, that one's not going to work either.
And you know the funny thing about it was, the Wright brothers weren't pilots, they weren't scientists, they were bicycle builders.
That's right.
All right.
But they didn't give up.
No, they didn't, and they flew. So that's the whole key. The real scientists are the guys and gals that are in their shops and in their sheds and in their doggone garages testing the limits of science. The fake stream science, so to speak, the ones that sold them souls to the devil that got the paperwork that say they're a scientist. I'm a registered scientist. Yeah, all right, but you're as stupid as a doggone log.
Yeah. Well, you pay a lot of money for those papers, those little papers that in a black frame that hang on your wall across the board. Like, you are the authority now.
That's right.
Everything you paid, you went to this big school and you paid a lot of money, and now that gives you the authority to tell people what to do or what to think or how to live or what to be and what to strive for and how to, you know, function, everything.
It's worse than that. They get the authority to tell other people that things will not work.
That's true.
And if you prove that it will work, and then the government recognizes that you proved it works, now it's a matter of national security. Anybody see a problem with that? That's ridiculous. Because the government's the one trying to kill everybody.
Here's an interesting another piece of this. Is sort of like, you know, I'm a person who was what they call, I was born with a call, C-A-U-L, right?
Yep.
If you don't know what that is, it's sort of a piece of what we call a veil, or a piece of very thin skin that's over your face. It's called a caul.
Yep.
In the old country, in the old way, and with the ancient way, that meant that you were a visionary, and that you had many gifts, and you were gonna, you know, possibly be a visionary or a healer, or, you know, you had psychic abilities and so on. And so that's a natural gift given you by Creator. We all have natural gifts. This particular type of gift is a little bit different. Not everyone has the abilities that comes with a call, like a visionary or a person who has given prophecies, or even that you can heal people. using yourself, or you are a vessel, you know, like you are a vessel. you are gifted by Creator, who is using you, and you come as this human being, but you receive from Source the information that you are given to create what you're creating to help people. That's, we call that a vessel or a hollow bone, you know, in the tradition of the Indian people.
Yeah.
It's a hollow bone. So now, in this world today, because of the authorities, now because I have natural gifts, or you may have natural gifts, because you don't have that piece of paper that you paid a lot of money for in a black flip frame on your wall, you are not allowed to practice the natural gifts that Creator gave to you.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's how it goes. That's what we're up against.
You're right. Stephen Givens posted something brilliant in there. I love that guy. He just amazes me. But he posted something, and there's a picture. It says, public notice. Due to recent budget cuts, the rising cost of electricity, gas, and oil, plus the current state of the economy, the light at the end of the tunnel has been turned off. Have a nice day. I'm going to save that. I'm going to post that on the doggone website. I love that. That is just too cool.
Well, it's pretty absurd, but it's real.
Yep.
You know, I mean, we're laughing at it, but it's actually real.
It's
really true. You know, and the absurdity of how we're living and how people are struggling and the fears that people are experiencing. You know, this is all a setup. This is all a diversion. To me, that what's going on today in this, all the mainstream media and all this hoo-ha that's going on and everything. It's like, if it's diverting you from your spiritual understanding or understanding or your connectedness or the goodness that's really makes you, that makes humanity up, the goodness that we were all given, the love and compassion, that we have the ability to, you know, express. This is who we really truly are, you know?
Yep. And, you know, it's sad to see that there are people. I had a conversation with a young girl here recently that basically has in the last month or two ended up in a hospital for basically attempts of suicide. And I was sitting there, I had a conversation with her, and it really brought me to tears because I had to let her know that she was more important than she could possibly imagine. I told her, I said, you know, there will only ever be one of you. Nobody can ever do things or say things the way that you can. You were created with your own special uniqueness. And I said, without you, you cheat the world of yourself, and you cheat you of yourself. I said, don't listen to all these people out there who've given you trouble for whatever, you know, reason that they feel like they're better than you or anything like that. I said, there's never going to be another one of you. There may be a million people with the same name as you, but there's only one you. That's how unique you are, and that's the way I feel that God created you. And by the time that I got done talking to that girl, I saw a light come on in her head. And so I know that she understands now that, you know, the world isn't so terrible now that she actually had somebody give her some encouragement to believe in herself. I told her, I said, I believe in you. You know, I said, I don't want you to hurt yourself. You know, I don't want nothing to happen to you. I know your dad loves you, and I know that you got friends that love you and stuff like that. And as miserable as things might be because of, you know, jerks that want to be ignorant, I said, they don't know you. They don't know the real you, the one that God created, the special gift that's inside of you. Nobody can ever replace that. And I think I really got to her. I think I really reached her with that deal because we haven't heard any more incidents of her trying to do that.
Well, that's a beautiful thing, and every word you said to her is right, is true.
Yep.
You know, and it's very sad to me how people, I've been there myself, to come to that place where you feel so hopeless. that you don't want to be here. I've come to that place in my past. So I know that feeling.
Yep.
It's a fine line. You know?
I also told her, I said, you know, all of us have been down some really hard roads, and more than likely we're going to go down some more hard roads. But then I had mentioned to her about that sermon that I heard a long time ago about the Valley of Blessings. And those are the times where they're the worst possible times of your life, that you think life is so terrible, but they prepared you for the future. Now you had the knowledge that you wouldn't otherwise had, and you had an extra piece of armor on. And, you know, if you could saw the look on her face, and she saw the tears in my eyes. She knew I was sincere in what I was saying.
She saw somebody who cared for her, who loved her, and this is what people are missing. You know, they feel unloved. They don't, and they feel that that's the only thing. Here's what I came to conclude through my own trials and errors. Because that's what we go through, is that, you know, this thing about love, Chiz, is really a key piece. But I think people don't really understand love, because they're looking to human beings, all right, to love them. And every human being out there is screwed up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's true.
Everybody has issues. Everybody that they don't understand or understand what love is. And I came to realize it took many, many, many years to realize that I am fully loved unconditionally by my Creator. And it doesn't matter if people can't express their love, because I look at them now and I see they're a wounded person. Everybody has a wound they're carrying, and everyone is afraid to express their love. Fear is the piece that we have to look at. Why is that so? Because, well, people feel if I give myself, because we've had these experiences, if I express my love for a person, eventually that person is going to hurt me or reject me or deny me. You know, and that's what we keep going for, that love. But the real love, the unconditional love, is ever present. Ever present. It's not gone. We're the ones who turn away from that ever-present love from Creator.
Yep. You know, one of the things that you said there about the whole fear-based portion of the deal is the reason why the mainstream scientists refuse to step outside the box for fear that their own peers will reject them, and that all the work that they've done on their, all their getting their fancy piece of paper and plaque on the wall to say that they were scientists, would go to waste. And they don't want to lose their gravy train of any kind of grants that they're given. And so these technologies that I keep mentioning on the Mad Science Show, they go by the wayside because the mainstream scientists won't touch them. They won't touch them because they're afraid that if they do and it violates any of the laws of physics, they'll make themselves look bad. Now, granted, if one of them stepped outside the box long enough to follow this thing through and realize that, hey, this really does work, once he says that those words, he'll be excommunicated from his own science community, and the government will now take note to it, and they will step in and call it a matter of national security. So that's why I keep telling everybody, if you come up with an alternative energy design, do not, under any circumstances, take it to any scientist that has any notoriety for validation.
Here's another piece of this. So aside from them not being recognized anymore and blah, 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 they'll lose their money.
Yeah.
They'll lose that money. See, that's greed.
Yep.
So greed is a sickness and is evil, okay? And you can't take that money with you. Once you're gone, that you don't have nothing but yourself and your Creator. That's it.
Well, if people don't heed this advice and they take their inventions to the mainstream science community, they will see exactly what I'm talking about, and their ideas will go by the wayside. They will not get out there into the mainstream market under any circumstance.
Or they'll be taken and they'll be used for evil. They'll be used for wrong. They'll be used to do harm. They'll be used just for the government or their purpose that they need to have control.
That's right. It won't get to the people like it was meant. You know,
no.
Guys like Tesla who wanted to give the world free energy, his mistake was telling J.P. Morgan that the world would have all the free electricity they want. When J.P. Morgan realized he couldn't put a meter on it, he pulled the funding. Wardenclyffe never got finished. That's why it never, that wireless energy technology never made it to the public. They used that to discredit Tesla. And the rest of his life, he spent basically, you know, working on his science and trying to do lectures and stuff like that. And they did everything under the sun to demonize him and his ideas until he finally died of old age in a you know, little apartment or old motel room. And then after he was gone, guess who shows up in order to get all the copies of all of his research? The government. The government didn't want no part of him while he was alive, but they sure did want a lot of what he had left over when he was gone.
Well, they destroyed a beautiful person who was gifted by Creator.
Yep.
To help the people. It's the same way with healing techniques, you know. Everything we ever needed, Creator gave us here on this earth.
Yep.
Everything. Every medicine exists in nature, in the mother.
That's it.
Everything. And those people who have come up with other types of healing, like, for instance, I can't remember who it was, some guy, again, one of those, well, call him a garage scientist, who came up with color healing, right?
Yep.
How to use color for healing. And this is very real. Well, now they're using it in technology,
Let me back you up real quick. And anybody out there who's paid attention in the medicine industry and science community knows about what they call the placebo effect. They would actually do tests where they would give one person a real pill and then they'd give the other person a sugar pill. And there were
many times. What does that tell you?
Yeah.
What does that tell you about human capabilities?
That the human was capable of healing themselves, because the one who believed that they had the medicine and it was going to work, and it was a sugar pill, they were healed.
So what does that tell you about the human mind, about the focus, about belief?
That it's powerful. Belief is one of the most powerful tools you got.
That's exactly right. Who gave us that belief?
Our Creator, as far as I'm concerned.
That the Creator gave us the ability to believe or not to believe.
Yep.
Again, free will. You can choose to believe or you can choose not to believe.
Well, that's the whole key to it. And whenever they basically brainwash the kids and the people, and they come out and guys like me are trying to say there's a better way, they don't believe it. And so as long as they don't believe it, it's not possible.
Well, the Dr. Carl Symington and Dr. Stephanie Symington are two forerunners of the healing possibilities that we as human beings have. And they had a clinic. The clinic still exists. What happened with them is that they started to investigate why is it that two people that are diagnosed with the same disease and the same term that they may survive or not, but they still have the same diagnosis. One goes home and survives for years, and the other one goes home and dies within a week. And they were very curious about this, and they came to be working with affirmations, like, you know, your personal affirmations, positive affirmations. But one thing was so key that they discovered, it was the will to live. The will to live, how powerful that is. So it's like that is a belief. Where does your will come from? Your will to achieve this, your will to climb that mountain, your will to swim that, you know, wherever, however long. Your will is a belief that you have, the capacity of your own free will to believe. And that is what they saw over and over and over again. Like one person would go home with the same diagnosis as another one, two different human beings. One had the free will, the will to live.
The other one
believed in the diagnosis that the other doctor said, well, you only have 6 months to live.
Yep. another factor to add into that are the people that actually surround you. There's an old saying that laughter is good medicine, and there's scientific proof to back it up, because
absolutely,
when you laugh and it releases endorphins in your body that not only make you feel good, but are beneficial to your health. Well, imagine if you got a person that is kind of alone, don't really have a lot of family, or maybe their family's really not kind of like the lovable type.
Well, they're not supportive.
Yeah, not supportive. But if you got that family, that person's going to sink even further down into sickness and depression, whereas opposed to the person on the other side who can kind of laugh in the face of adversity and got people around them who are supportive and loving and all that, and then strengthens that will to live.
Well, there's a story about some guy, I don't know who it was, who was diagnosed with terminal cancer, said given 6 months, I don't know why they choose, 6 months to live. You have 6 months to live. Some authority tells you that. So he rented a hotel room and got all these movies, these DVDs or whatever they were, movies, old movies, right, and all comedies. And he spent weeks there in that hotel room laughing his head off, and he basically healed himself. This is a real story.
I believe it. I believe it. I know how good I feel. You know, I've had like even a toothache, and somebody got me laughing, and my tooth felt better, you know?
Well, so let's talk about that, because we could say this is scientific focus here.
Yeah.
So what's happening when you are diagnosed with a terminal illness, that authority says that to you. They're basically implanting in your brain a message of negativity and death. What happens when you have people around you just loving you? What does that feel like? What happens to your body and your immune system? What happens to that message that you were told, you know, you're going to die in 6 months, you'll just forget it and go home and prepare to die?
It takes their mind off the doom and gloom and gives them a ray of hope, you know?
That's right. So the mind is a piece here that we have to look at. So the mind, I always say the mind has a mind of its own.
Yep, and it's a powerful tool if you use it properly.
And the mind is like a computer. It takes in information, and it just, like, you know, goes, it has all these systems that, of memory, right? Imprint.
Somebody who does not want to die will fight much harder to survive, and that means that their body's working overtime to find solutions to the problems that are causing them to die.
Well, apparently what your mind speaks, because the mind is constantly going blah, 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 if you don't take control, right? You have a consciousness. You have a conscious ability to take control and shut your mind up, that monkey mind, I call it, to say, you know, shut up and bring out a different information. Bring out, because that's your conscious, that's your will, your conscious awareness, right? But most people are just ruled and run over by the monkey mind. They don't even know that they are a conscious being. So if you have this monkey mind telling you, oh, it's the end, oh, it's done, this is hopeless, I'm helpless, I'm going to die, blah, 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 what happens to your immune system? Because when the mind speaks, the whole body responds and listens, specifically
right.
The immune system.
And when your immune system stops working because you lost all hope, your immune system lost all hope, the whole system begins
to
collapse.
Well, that's what it's hearing. It's hearing that voice, that message. So it's sort of like the hypothalamus. The brain gives the information to the hypothalamus, and the hypothalamus connects with the immune system, and the immune system functions accordingly to what it's getting.
Yep, and there's a reason why people who get really seriously depressed don't have the will or even probably even the strength to get out of bed, and they want to sleep all the time because they're miserable. And that's the only escape, is to allow the body to rest, to take their mind off of stuff.
Well, so it's what you focus on. What you believe in has a lot to do with this here.
Yep.
Because we have an ability to control our thoughts, our minds. We have a conscious self. We are conscious beings.
Well, scientists and even in the medical community haven't been able to answer many, many questions. Like, for example, there are certain hospitals that are going into more faith-based healing, Because for some reason, when you get a bunch of your family members and people around you who are willing to pray over you and focus their energy and love on you, some reason that you end up healing, and they can't figure out why. They have no medical explanation of how this person was healed or even did any better at all.
Well, because it's not in their science books.
Yeah.
That's why. Because they can't weigh it.
That's
they
it.
Can't measure it.
That's
what is it? So what is it? You can't measure faith. You can't weigh faith.
Nope, but it's a powerful medium, I tell you that. It's a powerful tool if you know how to use it, you know. I got a little... It was funny because I kept this on one of my science projects. I was at a Chinese restaurant and I got this fortune cookie. It had a fortune in it. And it says, on this fortune cookie, it says, affirm it, visualize it, believe it, and it will actualize itself. Alright? So, you know, that told me a lot. I was like, you know, I'm going to leave that right there under because I believe that this doggone invention, this design is going to work just like because the science all matches up there, and I'm going to believe in it, and I'm going to make it happen. And it works. The doggone thing works. You know, and so there's a whole lot more to science than meets the eye. And a lot of people don't want to bury one in there or something.
Well, I don't know. He's got some frowning face there. I have no idea what he put in there. Who knows? I just put a question mark up. What is it? Are we talking about something that is... Or I have no idea.
Well, we'll find out. Throw us a message in there, Bear, if you want in. But, folks, this is the key. All this stuff that we're talking about here on Mad Science, it's all scientific related because the mainstream science out there is stuck in the book. They're stuck in the control system, the same system that you're in being controlled by. And anytime anything bucks that system, you're going to catch heck from those folks that are in the system. They want to keep their lap of luxury, their gravy train going. The government wants to keep the gravy train going. The power companies and all the energy industries out there want to keep the gravy train going. Just like every other industry out there, the bottom line is the dollar. And so if you come out with a car that's more efficient than theirs, they don't want you selling that. If you come out with a energy device that makes electricity free, they definitely don't want that. Government gets taxes off of your electric and your gas and oil and all that. Everything that you use out there, the government finds a way to get some pennies out of your pocket. And that's the way it works. And so if you're being told in school that this is a problem, and then you're seeing that the actions of the people telling you that it's a problem, they're not doing nothing to resolve it. But you got a crazy crazy-haired mad science guy on Shaziz Radio sitting there telling you that energy's free and there's easier ways and more efficient ways at the very least to do things, and yet you can't get that information past the so-called representation of the world. I wrote a letter to the President of the United States. I didn't get no response back, not even one of them form letters, you know.
He didn't tweet you?
No, nothing. I didn't get no tweet. I didn't get nothing. I got ignored. I told him, look, you guys say we got energy problems. We got people out here ready to resolve it. All we need is somebody to say go, you know. That's it. Give us the resources that you give NASA for a day.
Uh-oh, you're on their radar now.
Yeah.
shut you down last time.
Yeah. And that really happens. We really seriously get hacked. We really seriously get shut down every time we hit certain subjects. That's a fact. But the thing is, if everybody out there wants to make this world better, it's going to take the people. It's going to take the people to believe in themselves and to step outside that box. It sounds scary. Oh, I don't want to step outside the box. I don't know what's out there. It's the great
unknown.
That's
that comfort zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, people don't want to step out of their comfort zone. They think it's comfortable, but it's really not comfortable. It's so uncomfortable.
No, it's a prison. It's cramped. And people get sick in cramped areas.
So what we're saying is on all levels across the board, Shaziz, is that there are answers.
Yeah.
There are solutions. Even with your health, even with, you know, your survival or, you know, the Everything that we need, there are answers and solutions, and we are being prevented from these deliberately.
Yep.
Not... I gotta ask the question again, why?
I'll tell you why. I know exactly why. It's all down to money. It's all down to power. That's the whole entire deal.
Where does that come from?
Yeah, that comes from the doggone people wanting to stay at the top. They want to eat their caviar and champagne while you're down there eating bread and butter if you're lucky.
Well,
to
tell
get
it like
buddy.
It is. Where does that come from?
It's evil, man.
That's right. I have
evil.
To keep putting this out, and I don't care if people shut up and say, forget it. She's always talking about evil.
It's the truth.
Well, get real.
Evil's
it's
real.
The truth. Because you have to look at it. What we're talking about, the prevention of people having food, having clean water, clean air, long life, joy, and peace in their life, you have to say, okay, if we are being prevented from this, from the technology that you're talking about, who is it that would be behind that to prevent life?
Anybody
to
evil
prevent
enough to
health?
Want people to die. See, they say that the definition of darkness is the absence of light. The definition of cold is the absence of heat. That's science. All right? And if you're cold, you could die. If you're too hot, you could die. And that's science. That's reality. Your body's 98.6 degrees. It doesn't like to be colder than that. It doesn't like to be hotter than that. It likes to be comfortable. And when there's technology available to make sure that nobody has to die from hypothermia or heat exhaustion, and you got somebody out there that is hindering the process of putting energies that are at the very least super efficient and affordable for the average Joe, that to me is evil. Because if you're hindering the process and people are dying because of the process, then your actions have consequences. That's what I have to say about it.
Well, I'm going to keep sticking to the subject.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to keep sticking to the subject. So we're talking about evil. Okay, I mean, if people don't get this by now, with the question of who would it be that would prevent us from good health, from warmth, from good food, clean food, who would do that? Well, people say, well, it's the corporate people, it's the Monsanto, blah, blah, blah. But who is behind it? I had to come to that question.
Well, people always say the devil made me do it.
Well, that is very true. Yeah. I mean, that's people laugh at that, but that's true. So what are you, the statement that you are making is very powerful.
Yeah.
The devil made me do this, you know. So greed and lack of morals and lack of empathy out the window. You know, all this stuff that we would see, that people are given this ability to care, to love, to be compassionate. And you see all those people who are at the top, you know, they're just greedy people. But who's behind their greed? I had to ask that question, and the answer just came in like a wave, you know.
Yep.
So what do we do, Shaziz? I'm just saying, because people, we're throwing this out a lot to people. I had to come to this conclusion. There's only one answer. The question I asked was, who would want to destroy this beauty, this sacredness, this health, this well-being, this joy, this peace? Who has something to gain?
The Antichrist, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, you know,
all of the above.
Yeah, all at the top of that pyramid is one rotten individual who doesn't care about you, wants to maintain power and prove himself to be superior over the Creator, and that's why things are terrible. That's why people are dying. That, you know, it basically is a good thing when people die in some people's eyes. Look at what Hillary Clinton did years ago when they killed Gaddafi over there. If you actually if you looked into the story of what Gaddafi was trying to do about uniting Africa.
I know all about that, and he's not the only one, but you know what? He wasn't playing their game.
No,
he wasn't playing their dirty game.
But the terrible thing that I said that she did was whenever they murdered that man right out there in public. They literally murdered that man. Regardless, he didn't get no fair trial. They didn't bring him in and question him and give him any kind of, you know, read his rights or anything like that. They just murdered him. But what happened was...
Well, they did the same thing with bin Laden.
Yeah.
They all sat around watching this like a movie.
But what happened worse, what shocked me the most was to see the interview where she had she was wringing her hands like she was all excited and happy, and she said, with a big smile on her face, "We came, we saw, and he's dead." That's evil.
That's evil. That's exactly right. Well, just like she called the people who were, just like she called the people who were hoping for some kind of savior, of course, that was Trump, like she called them deplorables.
Yeah.
That, to me, was so vile and disgusting. How dare she call other human beings who are struggling, who really need help, how dare she call them deplorables?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why, because the mainstream media hated Trump, that's why I trusted Trump. Now, whether he's the real deal or not, I couldn't tell you, because he's got to finish the job. We got to see what his actions are. So it's not.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you there, because that's the piece that catches everybody. Well, give him a chance. No, he's already shown his cards. He's already shown his cards right off the bat. So I don't think that he's the real deal. I think he's just another puppet.
That's highly possible, too.
Just like they all are. That's the system.
But the reason...
Do you think that Donald Trump is going to get away from the most evil manipulation? Look what he's doing about... look what he's doing about taking everything down about the protective measures that have been put in place to the environment, for instance.
Oh, I agree with you. But see, my point is, the reason why I was suckered into it, if that's the best word to say, reason why I was suckered into it is because I saw a mainstream media that I despise, I couldn't trust. I saw the alternative candidate and her deeds. And I guess to some extent probably picked the lesser of two evils, because I didn't know how this guy was going to do things, or whether he was the real dude.
Well, I
or
knew
not.
Right away, because I have to say, I received one weeks before he was elected, if so. I got a message in the middle of the night that Trump was going to be the president, and I felt this gut-wrenching fear. Okay, that was a message. And I didn't know what was going to unfold, but it was not good. And other things, just instinctively, but here's the piece. So you have to look at this system, the way it's been built up, manipulated all through these years, to put us in this place where this man would be elected so easily, because people are thinking pretty much just like you. Well, he's saying it like it is. The mainstream media is false news. The government is corrupt. So he's saying all the things that we know. So that feels pretty good. But then you have to look at the other pieces about what the energy around that man and certain things that he did and said.
Yeah.
And what his life is really like. He's a corporatist, you know. He's an egotistical man.
And that's
he's
what
a
brings,
narcissist.
That's what brings me back to the whole point, is that you're not going to get this via any representation out there as far as the government. You're not going to get it through any corporation or any mainstream scientist. The system is stacked against the people, and it has been for a purpose. So if anybody's to ever get clean, renewable, alternative, free energy that works in perfect harmony with nature, it's only because you decided as a person you're going to back those researchers that are out there doing real science outside the box, that are not saying everything's impossible when we know things are possible. The placebo
effect. Basically, you have to step up to the plate.
Yeah.
And you have to basically step into that responsibility for your own life, for your family's life. You have to come together in community, unity, because that's how we are the strongest. And they have deliberately basically kept us away from each other, pitted against each other, fearful of each other, and that's part of the plan. There are solutions, but they are covering up the solutions and destroying the solutions, because they have a plan. No president, no person of authority is for the people. It's because they are led by greed, period.
Well, there's a lot of people out there suffering needlessly as far as I'm concerned. And I'm trying to send ripples out to the world. You know, take guys like me and find the rest of the guys like me and gals like you and put them in a place where they can work for the people and we can get things resolved. You know, my manufacturing skills are limited only by the tools that I got access to. And I'm not asking anybody for any money. I'm not. What I'm saying is, if we can bring my mind into a lab to work with other minds out there, those pieces of the puzzle will start falling into place, and we can get these things resolved and proven to the public where now, you know, if they actually see this thing working and they can put hands on it and they can measure it and they can know that this doggone thing's working, all these other knuckleheads that call themselves scientists and representatives and industries or whatever, they won't be able to shut it up. The solutions are on the table. And I wish there was some way to bring these people together. That's the only way this is ever going to get resolved. That's the only way to ever fight the evil that's at the top of this structure that we have. Look, folks, there's a base of a pyramid and there's the capstone of the pyramid. The people have to hold the base up because you're the ones at the bottom. You're holding that same structure up that's oppressing you, all that weight of that pyramid coming down on you, and you're standing there holding it up because you're afraid to get out from under it. The whole deal is, until you get out from under it, nothing's going to change. 40 years down the line, somebody like me will be asking the same question. Somebody like Barbara will be asking the same question. Why are people still starving? Why are people still dying of sicknesses that could be cured? Why are people still dying of hypothermia and heat exhaustion? It's because the system don't care. Even the drug industry don't care. They're not going to give you a cure for the common cold if they're trying to sell you cold medicine. It's that simple. Whew. I don't know.
I'm sorry, but I'm just a little distracted here because our dear friend Barry's struggling with.
Yeah, I'm watching the conversation in there. I hadn't had an opportunity to say anything.
Well, it's the personal plate, but it's what we're talking about, isn't it, though?
Yeah, it's exactly what we're talking about. People struggling, just trying to survive, and the system just makes it harder and harder for people to get by. You know, like I said, you know, I know we had this conversation about Trump. Trump isn't the answer. Trump never was the answer.
No.
Trump is just a man at the top of the pyramid, and he said the right things to get himself elected. But it's just like Congressman Bongwater. You ever want a good laugh, go back and listen to my Congressman Bongwater videos. And it's serious. He's sitting there talking about, you know, elect me and I'll screw you on taxes. You know, he tells you like it is. I'm going to tell you, you know, I just want your money. That's all. And that's what they should be. They should be more honest. Yeah, we're going to get up here because we want to live high on the hog, ride around in limousines and corporate jets and helicopters and eat caviar and all that kind of stuff. And you're going to treat us like kings and queens. And we're just going to do you wrong. They might as well just be honest with it because their actions are telling the truth. And if people paid attention long enough to see what's going on out there, you know, every time you get your electric bill at home and that thing is more than you can afford, but you got to pay it anyway, otherwise you're going to get cold or hot, whichever the case may be, depending on what season or area you live in. I'm sitting here telling you there are technologies out there, plasma technologies, that you can use a whole lot less energy in order to be able to get the same amount of comfort out of, using these things more efficiently. You know, there's so many different technologies available that's been around for so long. And alternative energy researchers that are constantly searching for, you know, better and cheaper ways to do stuff, repurposing things like old heater cores or radiators out of doggone vehicles, you know, and recirculating hot water through there. If you look back in time, the radiator systems that they used to use back in the houses, they worked pretty good. They had a boiler system in the basement, and they kept people warm in the wintertime. And over years, they figured out more efficient ways to transfer that heat from the radiator as in the form of radiant heat out to heat up the you know, air in your rooms. And they got better and better. And, you know, that's all I've been saying all along. It's not that we don't have enough energy. It's that we're just not using it properly. And if we could get that mindset out there in the public, you know, and figure out a way to send the trolls somewhere else to hassle people. You know, we've heard people arguing over religion. We've heard people arguing over politics. We've heard people arguing over the power structure, the secret societies, and all the different, you know, what they call conspiracies and stuff like that out there. And yet we haven't heard people get down there and really seriously troubleshoot, like we do here on ShazizRadio.com, problems in this world, to put solutions on the table. Maybe
You know, I'm going to step in now because I have something on my mind.
Okay, go ahead.
Really strong. And I know I've said this before. Now, we're talking about one piece here. You're talking about the technology, they're talking about the availability of this and so on and so forth to help the people. And that's all good. But to me, when I get deep into this, what starts coming through is, wait a second. There's a bigger thing here about saving the people. There's a bigger piece here that people are missing. All this stuff like the preppers and all this stuff and get your food in, get your water in, get your blah blahs in, get your, you know, your generators going, get your solar panels, blah blah blah. All that we're talking about. Okay, I have to step back and look at the bigger picture here, because to me the bigger picture is our humanity's survival.
Yep.
Not just the technology stuff. I'm talking about the soul, the spirit, whatever you want to call it, because we are in a spiritual war. To me, this is the really most important thing. We could get our generators. We could get free energy. We could get all that. But if you don't have yourself in connectedness to the spiritual piece here, it's not going to do any good. Because we have people like, remarking, for instance, about Trump, what Trump is doing and so on and so forth, or what Putin is doing, or what this one's doing, what Kim Jong-un is doing. Okay, all these things are diversions,
yep.
I feel the big piece here is about our spiritual well-being, about humanity's survival, because that's where we are at this time in our life. This timeline is such a crucial timeline. I feel that, you know, like, yeah, Trump is supposedly a racist person and so on, but Trump is playing a part here. There's a manipulation going on here. And it's from that dark source. And the manipulation is basically what Trump is. His racist remarks brought out the racists and all those who have been holding on to it for all their life. That's across the board. We see people coming out following his lead. Hatred, separatists, you know, anger, violence, pitting everybody against each other. This is a plan. And this is an evil plan. And if we don't get this piece, that's why I say we can't just point to one person, okay? Because they're all being played and all being manipulated to lead us down some path of hatred against each other, of violence, of uncaring, of morals out the window. This is the plan. Is this where we're heading? You know, I feel that the peace where we have met, where we have come to in our life, in humanity's life, is such a crucial piece. And I'm going to keep saying it. It's about our spiritual connectedness. It's about that light and that love. That's what it's about. So, yeah, when you see somebody standing on the podium talking racist crap, don't be diverted by it.
That's why I keep telling everybody, stop feeding the beast that's eating you alive.
Stop feeding that beast. Don't focus on that.
The doggone, you know, Constitution that I keep mentioning this has three bold words on there. Says, we the people. That's where the real power has always been, if the power was ever utilized. That's the whole key. Everything that we've been talking about here could be resolved, but it's going to take the average Joe to get off the bandwagon of all the hate and discontent that goes on and ask the hard questions. Why are people still starving to death?
Well, the apathy, that's the good question. Why? Why? It's not one person's fault.
That's right. You know, humanity's got to take some responsibility. If we got all these technologies and we still know that people are not being cared for, then we have to make it happen. There are people that do. There are people that we've mentioned on this show that went out and they saved babies and got them healthy again and done all kinds of good things like that. And the whole deal is you got to get a wave going across this world where people can literally believe in themselves enough. By yourself, you may not be as strong as you need to be, but together, two of you together can do amazing things. Three of you, four of you, 9 billion of you. If you get together and you start working on these solutions that we've been talking about all this time, getting networks built up and networking in your community, putting groups together in your community to look into these ideas that we're talking about.
Let's say there is a divine plan, whether you believe in it or not. Let's just say that there is another plan, as opposed to the destruction of humanity and the controlling of humanity. Let's say there's another plan. So my question is, when do you finally turn to the divine source? When do you finally begin to plead and pray and ask for help? When does that happen? It happens when it is the worst nightmare of your life.
Yep.
It happens when you have there's nothing, when you feel there is no light. It happens when you are in the darkest hour of your life. Let's say that nobody's there yet. Oh, people think they're having problems. People think it's really rough. People are experiencing terrible things. That's true. But what are they doing? What are they wallowing in? What are they choosing? When is it that the people en masse are going to raise up and come together in unity, care for each other together and love each other and turn to Source that has the answer for everything?
Yep.
So suppose that we're in this place right now in the timeline of humanity. I'm going to say it where Creator has given us an opportunity that things are going to get so bad.
Oh, I believe that too.
So bad. And we're not there yet. I don't think we are there yet. I think we're just at the tip of this iceberg.
Barbara, I believe that so much that I'm doing this radio show for that purpose. Because, you know, in my book of faith, Jesus said that unless these days be shortened, that these things would come to pass. He said that they're going to happen. You keep down this road.
Well, you are doing it with your heart. Your heart is good. You're receiving this guidance and information to help people. I'm talking to all the listeners out there because we're all in the same boat.
Yep. Regardless
you have some
of where
solutions.
You're at.
I have some solutions, but together we must come together, and I think we must come to really understand what is happening here on the bigger picture.
Yep.
If you are down, if you are angry at so and so, if you are PO'd at so and so for doing this or not doing that, that's a diversion.
That's right.
Where is the most powerful source for healing and change and peace? Where does that come from?
Yeah, I believe it comes from our God. I believe it comes from our Creator. And
I believe it comes from that Creator, but it's our choice, you see. Here we are. What are you choosing to focus on? And you're going to have all that crap put in front of you through mainstream media or what Trump does or what this one does or what that one doesn't do. And you are going to be constantly diverted from the source that you need to be focusing on in order to make the changes that we all need.
That's right. You don't go
that's what I feel so strongly. I get frustrated at people who are constantly focusing on the negative.
You don't go into a doggone dark cave without a flashlight. So, you know.
I mean, we're talking energy here. We're talking frequency. If you are constantly focusing on what is happening that is negative, that's exactly what that evil entity wants you to do. It wants to divert you away from the light, away from goodness, away from compassion, away from the power of prayer, the power of unity.
The negativity will draw in yet even more negativity until you've got the whole entire weight of the world on your shoulder, and you're not meant to carry that weight. You're meant to...
Wait, you know, it's like it tells me everything when I feel burdened. It takes me a while to finally say, I'm going to give all this burden over to you, Creator.
Yep.
I want to be free of this because this is distracting to me and I'm not able to do the sacred works that I was put here for.
And that's why I try to uplift every spirit that comes across my path out here on the radio show, in these chat rooms. I try to get you to believe in yourself, to know that you... See, our Creator didn't make no trash, only treasure. And you're a piece of that puzzle. You're a unique piece of the puzzle. There's nobody else that can be like you. Nobody else will ever replace you. Nobody can do anything exactly the way that you do it. You have a special gift, a special talent. You're just as important as anybody else out there. Everybody else is all on the same equal play. We all have a choice. Dark side or the light side. You take whichever one you want. But if you feed that beast that's standing on the top of your neck, then you got to expect that you're going to be uncomfortable. These energy sources that I keep talking about out here are based on real science, real observation, real testing. And when you hear mainstream scientists say that these are not possible because of this law or that law, then you just believe it and that's that. And humanity stops excelling forward. And that's why we're in a situation that we're in, where people are starving, where people are cold, or where people are sick or hot or whatever. We got the solutions on the table. We need to gather the masses out there. You know, you don't go in the army with, you don't go up against an army with one guy. It's obvious. There's more power on that big old army than that one guy can push out. I mean, I might be able to take a couple of them, get a couple lucky shots, but they're going to overcome me. They're going to take me down. The system...
Look, before we were talking about... Sorry to interrupt you, but I have to keep going on this, because before we were talking earlier, we were talking about the power of our will.
Yeah.
The will to live, the power of that. We have energy. We are energy beings. We have a power, and it is what we focus on and what we believe has a power, and it is a manifesting tool. So if you keep getting sidetracked with what Trump is doing, or what this one's doing, or what that one's not doing, or what the mainstream media tells you, and it's terrifying you and putting all this fear in you, if that's overtaking you, you are not using the power that Creator gave you.
That's right. That free will to walk away.
Because your mind is preoccupied with the crap that the mainstream media or so-and-so is putting out. And that's what I'm talking about. You can say, you can complain, and you can complain if you want. That's what you've chosen to do. But you are not using the tools the Creator has given to every one of us as manifestors, as power of energy, frequency.
Yep.
You're talking about technology. Think about the power that we have.
Proof
about our free will and what we believe.
Proof of what you've been saying is the fact that if you go back and listen to a lot of these podcasts, and you hear old Shazia's coming on there all discouraged and about ready to throw in the towel and say, you know, I'm going to delete all my websites, I'm getting out of this because it's driving me insane. And then you'll come on there with some words of wisdom that will inspire me and give me the strength to come on and keep going.
Yeah, you know, it's a simple thing, it seems, but the belief, what we believe in, is so powerful. This has been shown and known about throughout history, throughout the wisdom of the ancient people. And we saw it at Standing Rock. We saw the power, what the people believed in. And some people will say, well, yeah, but it didn't do any good because Trump put the pipeline in anyway. But that's not the point. The point is what it brought throughout the whole world, connecting people to pray together, to know the power of prayer. You know, I mean, this is the important thing for peace and for prayer.
Yep.
For that power, we all have that ability. But if you want to focus on the negative, then that's the power that you are putting out. That's the energy. You're talking about energy, Susan.
Yep.
That's the energy. That's your technology that you're putting out.
That's right. You know, like I said, I don't claim to know everything that there is to know, but I do have enough common sense to see, you know, what's going on out there, and people got to wake up to the reality. You know, there
well,
is
I'm
going to
talk about prophecy now. I'm sorry.
That's right. Hey.
I'm going to talk about prophecy because, you know, there is a prophecy. There are several prophecies unfolding right in our faces now.
Go ahead and run with that. I got to step out for a second. You got
the prophecy that says, one prophecy, and it's a dark prophecy, and it says that there will be chaos rising, okay? And I've talked about chaos before, and we see chaos rising, but also that part of that prophecy says that we will see the behaviors of fellow humans that will stun us, that will shock us like we've never been shocked before. We see that happening. That is happening. Why is that? What are you focused on? The other prophecy says that this is the time of the breakup and shattering of everything that has been put in place by the dominator, patriarchy rule, which is manipulated by basically that evil entity. It's to really eliminate the sacredness, the sacrosanct of everything that Creator, Mother, Father put in place. And that prophecy we see unfolding as well. Who's playing this part? Who is being used to do this? What are these sealed documents about to take down people in the government? What happened in Saudi Arabia where all these corrupt princes were put in a hotel and are held captive to eliminate what they're doing? What do we see happening? We see the Black Snake prophecy unfolding where the pipeline is being put across the whole of the earth. The Black Snake prophecy is unfolding. But also the Rainbow Warriors prophecy is unfolding. And we saw at Standing Rock both of those prophecies side by side, the Black Snake prophecy and the prophecy of the Rainbow Warriors gathering. All the Rainbow Warriors are people from all over the world who basically came to Standing Rock to stand together, black, red, yellow, and white. That's the Rainbow Warriors rising. So we have two types of prophecies unfolding here. So this is meant to be. So the Black Snake prophecy unfolding, the Rainbow Warriors unfolding, this is the time of enlightenment. That's another prophecy where people are waking up, where people are coming together, where people are saying no more of this. That's enlightenment, the time of enlightenment. But here's another side of that prophecy. Enlightenment, the light within you, the light within us has been darkened deliberately, has been kept dark deliberately. That's what we were talking about earlier about brainwashing and manipulation and that agenda to keep everyone in the dark. That's not about your mind keeping you dumbed down in your mind. That's about to put out that light that is within you. So a prophecy now is about the enlightenment. This is the time of enlightenment. What does that mean? What is that light that we're talking about? What is that light about? Okay, so I'm going to say that light to me is about our conscious awareness. It's about the goodness inside of us. It's about love. It's about compassion. It's about brotherhood, sisterhood. It's about coming together like the Rainbow Warriors. It's about caring for the Mother Earth, for caring for all life. There is an agenda here to really destroy what the Creator gave us. He gave us all these medicines, all the medicines that we would ever need. Wow. It gave us everything, clean water, clean air. Who is looking to destroy this? This is a prophecy. Where is it leading us? Go ahead.
It's leading us down a bad path. You know,
there are two paths. You see, there's two prophecies running side by side here. So there's the positive and there's the negative. You have inside of you the ability to choose a positive outlook, a positive steps and words and beliefs, or the negative.
Yep. And that's why I choose to put out these positive pebbles and all this information, is because I know that if people chose the right path, we could fix all these problems. These so-called problems of the world, they wouldn't exist if we decided not to allow them to exist. The evil out there only can win when you give up. That's it.
That's right. On all levels. Don't give up.
So when these mainstream science guys are out there telling you you can't do that, and the facts say otherwise, that's why I say don't go to no scientists, mainstream scientists, or any of these organizations or government and ask for validation or permission. Just do what's right that you know in your heart it works. Help people to be warm, help people to be fed, help people to be healthy. There's information out there with all kinds of natural cures that the mainstream will not talk about because of obvious reasons. Food and Drug Administration and and regulations and all that kind of stuff, but there are societies that have stood the test of time, so to speak, and people that live for very long periods of time that have generation after generation passed down natural remedies, natural cures, alternative methods of heating and cooling and stuff like that, and that knowledge went by the wayside. They don't teach that stuff in school. They don't teach going out foraging in your community to find out what it is that you can eat. How many people out there would starve to death in a worst case scenario situation because they didn't know that there were plants on their own property that are edible, that are healthy? You know, that's a science in itself. Knowing how to survive like nature intended you to survive. You know, that's, I don't know what more to say other than that. The solutions are on the table. And if you get this information out to other people and they can see it and they can test it and they can find out you're telling the truth, you know, there's power in the numbers of people. You know, that doggone thing that I keep mentioning on the Knights of the Round Table all the time, that little phrase that inside the movie A Bug's Life, that grasshopper was telling them, those ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And the moment they figure out that, our way of life is over. So we're going back. We're going to straighten that one ant out. Just set an example. That's what governments do to people. That's what companies out there that want to maintain power do to people.
Stand. I guess what we're talking about is simple. Either you believe or you don't believe.
Yep. Stan Myers.
Right across the board. Either you believe that there's free power, free energy, and it's available. Either you believe that there's peace, or you don't.
Yep. Stan Myers was driving around in a dune buggy in 1979 running on water fuel. Alright? Tesla was doing wireless energy transmission way back when, and proof of that is that you got your cell phone and technologies that do wireless energy transfer.
There's people that are running around in their cars with cooking oil.
Yeah.
For fuel.
Biofuel, using French fry grease and stuff like that.
Exactly.
You know, the technologies are there. I had to put a video out about duckweed and watermill. I thought that stuff was the most obnoxious plant on the planet until I realized the capabilities of what it could do. Nature put it there to clean up the mess that man created. And once nature gets it all cleaned up and then wants to introduce life back into that pond, then you'll see it go away by itself. But you have to ask the question. If you go out on a journey across just here in the United States alone, and you look at all the different ponds out there that are all green, covered over with duckweed and watermill, there's no fish in there anymore. You have to. That has to be concerning to you, because fish is part of the food cycle, where animals are going to get the food and the fish are going to get food and all that kind of stuff. But if those ponds are covered in green, then that means there's something wrong. Something's out of balance. And I've seen lots of these. I even seen the huge lakes that were, you know, where lots of people go to play in these lakes and fish and all that. These lakes are all covered in green. They got algaes, they got duckweed and watermill on them, and they look terrible. Well, that's because the doggone system basically, you know, putting too much of, pesticides and fertilizers and all that kind of stuff down in there starts to break down the system. Well, nature's got to clean that up, that mess that you just made, and starts working on it. That's where those plants come into play, like a perfect water filter, you know. And not only that, these plants can be used for chicken feed, they can be used for fertilizer, they can be used for biofuel. Once nature cleans that pond up and you assist nature in getting that pond back to where it should have been to begin with and stop repeating the same mistakes that you did prior, you won't get all that water runoff. That is, looks like I lost Barbara. Wonder what happened. Skype just failed on her. Once you get all that runoff resolved where you ain't got that polluting that water or putting too much nutrients in it, then, you know, it's back to normal again. So the technology, yeah, the Two Dog says, I have an idea, come to my council fire and let's talk on how we can come together and help fix this. I'm with you, Two Dog. I want to do that. I don't know what happened. I lost Barbara there. I'll try to call her back and see if I can get her. Maybe she, maybe her internet failed on her. What happened, lady? I lost you.
I guess I was dropped off. I'm talking too much.
Sorry about that. I don't know what's going on. It seems like every time we get on a roll, somebody wants to shut us up.
I think so.
But, you know, I just explaining about how nature cleans stuff up, and if we can observe and watch what nature's doing and take nature's lead and, you know, follow that example, all these things that we need to make people healthy and make our environments clean, they're on the table. Folks, get those environmentalists out there who say that they really care about saving the planet, get together a convention and let me come talk to them. And just say what I've been saying here. You know, Charles talked about coming over and having a council fire with him. I want to do that. I want to go around and talk to everybody and his brother who wants to listen and that there are solutions on the table. You know,
it's amazing how nature has all the solutions.
It does.
Nature has all the solutions. It's right there. You can put out the worst pesticide like Monsanto put out this really horrible pesticide that starts to kill everything, right? Well, nature came up with a super weed. Monsanto even named this super weed because the super weeds were not affected by their pesticide. So they had to come up with another pesticide that would take care of that super weed. And I said, you know, Mother Nature is a powerful survivor.
That's
she
right.
has all the answers, and she put out a new weed, or they call it a weed. It could be a medicine for all we know, but they called it a weed against their worst pesticide that they could come up with. So that's Mother Nature. She's fighting for herself.
That's what I've been saying all along. If you think you're more powerful than nature, you better think again. Because if you get nature, there was an old commercial years ago, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. It was that butter commercial.
Right. That's so true, right?
Oh, yeah, it's true. You don't want to tinker around. Nature's powerful, all right? Nature has provided every single thing necessary, food, materials, energy, everything necessary. And if you understand how to work in perfect harmony with nature, then we got it made. You know, we got to stop letting all these knuckleheads out there, the jive turkeys that are supposedly representing us, to destroy our planet. And they do it in so many different ways. And these are our brothers and sisters over there. You know, these children that are hungry, those are our family. These people over there dying in war zones, those are all people. You know, they're part of the human race. They're part of humanity. And the only way we're going to ever protect them is to literally get off the couch and do just that, protect them, you know, and bring these technologies to the forefront. You know, if the people out there really seriously want clean, renewable, alternative energies, the solutions are on the table. It's there for the taking. We got a buffet of ideas for in every single direction. Throw it out there and say, well, there's a problem here, and we'll find you the solution. You know, Stephen Gibbons in the chat room all the time is posting links to researchers everywhere. So their links are available as well. And there's all kinds of documentation out there that shows about old historical research devices. Like I keep mentioning the Mercury Arc rectifier, because essentially it's a plasma reactor. And I'm talking about building a plasma water heater that uses, you know, high frequency to basically transfer heat and light out, you know, of the thing. And doing it so incredibly efficiently that you're not draining all those resources. You know, people keep thinking that we're ever going to run out of coal, or we're going to run out of oil, or we're going to run out of resources. Look, this world is the most amazing creation in the history of time. It was created with us in mind, because If you look at what's going on out here, this world is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions, produces more energy than we could ever use in a trillion lifetimes, and there's not one single thing that man has ever made that nature cannot deteriorate and put back into the system. So all the chemistry that was here on day one is still here right now, including all the people who ever died on this planet. Their bodies are back into the system. It's science. You know, everything that was ever built that rotted back down went right back into the system. And so all the oil that's been burned, all the carbons and everything is all recycled back into the system. The CO2 and the carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide. One has two oxygen atoms connected to one carbon atom. The other one has one oxygen atom connected to one carbon atom. And guess what? That is plant food. It scrubs off that carbon and gives us the fresh oxygen to breathe. And that's how the system works. It's amazing. When you burn firewood, you get more resources. You get a soot build up in your chimney stack that they call creosote. And if you don't clean that down every once in a while, it can catch fire to your chimney. It's another fuel source. The ashes from actually burning the firewood turns into everything from lye soap to anti-slip stuff that you can get your car out of the ditch when it's snowy outside, and there's more uses for it. You can throw that ash onto your garden and put nitrogen into your plants. So everything, no matter what we do with it, science says that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So where does it go? It goes right back into the system. That's it. It's not that we don't have enough power. It's not that we don't have everything we need. It's just that we haven't decided to this point to use it as efficiently as possible in the most respectful manner in order to ensure that everyone is taken care of. We're supposed to be caretakers. We're supposed to be helping each other out. That's what we're here for. That's our purpose. We're supposed to help each other out. We're supposed to learn a valuable lesson in life and choose between the dark and the light. I choose the light. I want people to be fed. I want people to have a roof over their head. I want them to be warm when they need to be warm. I want them to be cool when they need to be cool. I want them to have fresh water to drink, fresh food to eat, and it's all there. It's all readily available. So if you got a group out there, an environmentalist group that is fighting against the cause out there, well, come here, let's talk about a solution. You know, we'll do that. In all these different countries, these corporations get by with literally polluting the waterways and polluting the land, and then people look around and they see this mess, and suddenly comes out the doom and gloom and negativity. They're saying we're all going to die off. Well, they might be right. There might come a time when nature can't keep up with man and decides that man's no longer important and the planet keeps on going and we stop. I kind of like to see humanity go on into the future and see how far we can excel. Because I believe in each and every one of you. I believe in what we've been given. This amazing gift. The technology is available. There is no reason for people to be freezing to death. There's no reason for people to die of heat stroke, you know, and if we all used every bit of knowledge that has been laid down before us at this time, this is a wonderful time in history because it seems at this point in history we have access to so much information. It's what we choose to do with that information. It will define the future of this world and humanity in general. It will define whether or not nature gets fed up with us and just takes us out, you know. It's as simple as that. You know, we're trying to take each other out. And it needs to stop. The Mad Science Show, the Knights of the Round Table, is to try to bring people together. That's it. So, Barbara, are you still there?
I am.
You got any words of wisdom? Because looks like we're at the end of our show here today.
Well, words of wisdom. Huh. Ah, what are the words? Well, you know, I just feel thank you, great gratitude for being able to speak what I feel is important and listen to you, what also what you're sharing. to share with the people what I feel believe is essential. Take what you hear with to your heart spirit if it rings true. I don't have all the answers. I'm just passionate about what I feel strongly, you know, concerning where we are today, what is some of the solutions and answers. I know that we, you know, ultimately I feel that there is this spiritual battle, but the spiritual battle is within ourselves, okay? It's not something out there. It's something within ourselves, and this is what I think we have to reconcile with, because this is a crucial time for humanity, as we can just, you know, look around and see. We're teetering here on a precipice. We've come to like a crossroads that I think we are tipping. And as I said before, you know, I do have a belief, a very strong and powerful belief in our abilities and how essential every one of us is. And how when we come together in unity with our hearts open and caring and love and compassion, the power of that is beyond our imagining. So I believe this is where we are today. I think this is a key piece. I think all the technology and the helping and all that level and area is important too, but I think the key piece is the power that we have within us to make the change, to help everyone to be in that harmony and balance as we were meant to be originally, as that's why we were put here. This is a paradise. We were given this paradise. And I don't want to participate in the destruction of this sacred gift, you know, so I'm just doing my part here as best I can to hold a good thought, to hold a good perspective, to make, you know, align my, the choices that I'm making, my free will, I'm going to use it to focus on the positives, to focus on the goodness, to focus on peace that I know is ever present and love that is ever present. So that's what I'm doing. And I just want to thank you for, you know, allowing me to be here, express myself, and all that you're doing, and all the listeners out there. Philomaya.
Well, I'm just thankful for your presence, and I'm honored by your presence. Look, I know you get it, and I get it. We both get it. Together, we make a little corner of that big, giant piece of the puzzle, that big picture that we've been talking about. We're just trying to bring all the rest of the pieces of the puzzle over to the right side so we can get things done. There's things out there that we could be doing that would benefit all of humanity, you know. And the groups like NASA getting $50 million a day to go out there and do all kinds of whatever, you know, imagine what that would do in the people's hands. And people, you're paying for it. You're paying for all this stuff that's going on. You pay for it at the pump. You pay for it at the grocery store. You pay for it. That's all you do is pay. You've been paying since the day you were born. It's got to come a time when people got to stop paying the beast, stop feeding the beast that's stepping on them. Needs to
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.